Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. It is episode 519.
Woof.
What's up, Doug?
Nothing.
Just you and I on the intro today.
Just hanging out.
Actually, I got to be honest to people in podcast world. You and I are just in the studio, but Eric and Austin are out in the green room. We're prepping for a new entertainment system and moving deer heads and doing all sorts of stuff here at the studio.
It's going to be bumping.
It's going to be bumping. It's going to be a lot of fun. Making things look good, getting some stuff back from Old Barn Taxidermy, which is exciting.
It was a good time.
Couple announcements. If you're listening to this podcast and you're on your way down or making the journey from wherever you're coming from to the Working Class Bowhunter shoot this weekend, June 11th, thank you. We hope you enjoy this one, and we're looking forward to seeing you and then sharing a beer afterwards at the after party. Yeah. So
see you soon.
Shout out already to Galesburg Archery Club for hosting our shoot. 30 Target Outdoor 3D Course in Ryo, Illinois. Go to our website, hit the shoot tab. All the info you need is there. It's not a competition. You have to be registered and on the course by 2. Have fun. Shoot from where you're comfortable. And then if you're 21 or over afterwards, come on out to the after party, Jigs' Tavern, Alexis, Illinois.
That's where the party will be.
That's where the party. And it's Doug's birthday.
Yes, it is.
That's exciting.
I don't think I'll be getting as wild as last time. So
yeah, you will.
Nah, I don't know.
I will make sure that happens.
Easy.
I will make sure that happens.
Yeah, come shoot some bows, drink some beers. This will be a good time. Win some prizes.
Going to be a day. Yeah, lots of prizes.
Lots of prizes.
A lot of goodies. A lot of our partners threw in for big prizes. Loophole threw in some stuff. Trophy Line threw in some stuff. Novix. Big Time, of course, the title sponsor of the shoot. Elite. We're giving away Elite Terrain, some Slick Trick broadheads.
You'll be walking away with something.
Something. Thermoseat giveaways. Oh, man, it keeps going. I know I'm forgetting some, but there's a lot of goodies coming. So if you're there, chances of winning something are pretty damn good.
They're probably better than any other.
Anywhere else, right? Yeah. They're better than anywhere
else. Because
we're the best. Couple announcements. We are actually launching some new shirts at the shoot. So we're going to have our booth set up. If you're on your way there, you get first look, first opportunity at the shoot for our new merch.
And they're real nice.
They're real nice. We're really pumped about this new lineup, and there's more coming.
Yeah.
And then after the shoot, they'll be online, and there's some new hats coming. So just keep that in mind. If you can't make the shoot, keep an eye out the following week, next week, workingclassbowhunter.com. You want to do a veteran shout out now?
I'll do it now.
Veteran shout out to submit this a veteran one. Shout out workingclassbowhunter.com contact tab. You can submit them in there.
I should say real quick when Chris just showed up,
Chris J from Wolfpack Outdoors.
He got me a little birthday gift, and it was pretty good actually. It was a Hooked on Fahenix book.
it wasn't like pre-K.
It was ages 3 to 4.
I might take that home for my daughter actually.
So hopefully I start reading better.
We'll work on you, man.
This was submitted by Lucas Kinkler, and the veteran is Jordan Bigelow. Says he is in the Illinois Army National Guard. I served with him for 10 years, and he is the best man at my wedding. He is an Afghanistan veteran and also deployed in the country of Jordan. That's pretty crazy. He's an awesome dad and is always down to drink some Busch Lights.
Love that.
So, thank you for your service. Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. Well,
and Lucas, because you both served together. So
thanks, Jordan and Lucas.
Thank you for spending that, Lucas. And thanks, guys.
Appreciate
Cheers.
It. Cheers. Cheers, boys. The podcast, Getting Into the Business, is brought to you by Elite Archery. Been shooting Elite for a long time. We're getting ready, tuned up. I'm actually taking a couple weeks off because my shoulder hurts.
From the horse?
My horse ran me into a tree in Wyoming.
I should have let the Elite eat on a bear, but say for another time.
Story for another time. Yeah, I would have bailed off that horse, but it was in the river when it happened, so I didn't want to bail off in like freezing cold water. So I just rode it out, and it's not like it's muscle related. I think I pulled a muscle, like it forced me to turn a certain way, and then ran my shoulder into a tree, which like basically forcefully moved my shoulder like backwards, and it hurts.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm surprised no one actually did get hurt on the horses.
Right, like worse.
Yeah. They're some close calls.
They're Western. But
shit got Western.
I'll have the Elite out ripping. I don't know. I thought about pushing it, shooting at the shoot, but I might wait, man. I'm pretty sore. I don't want to.
Might have one in you, the fling down.
Yeah, at Curly, the steel buck. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Big time. We are getting ready in the next week to put some borderline in. I mowed everything off. Going to get it sprayed, get some borderline in. Code for Elite also is WCB. Big time code WCB 2022. Also, Huntworth. Huntworth camo, Huntworth gear. Code WCB15 if you'd like to save some money and get yourself into some Huntworth stuff. Rocked it in Wyoming yet again. Oh, dude. Performs amazing.
We had, what do we have, 75 to 30?
Variant in weather.
It was pretty nuts.
I pretty much, what I like about that, I always bring more gear than I need.
Yeah.
But I pretty much live in my hood, my Huntworth hoodie and either the lightweight or the midweight pants. And I live in that the whole time. And I rock, I like both patterns. Tarnin's such a good look. I feel like every time I wear Tarnin, I get compliments on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. You got everything you have is pretty much Tarnin.
Yeah.
Sexy.
I don't know why. I just like the backpack a lot.
I like the backpack too.
Big fan.
I'm a big fan. I like it a lot. I've used it on, most of my hunts in the last year since I've had it. Yeah,
since we got them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just posted that reel on our Instagram of my buck battle axe sitting there, and I got the Huntworth back of the pack sitting there. So if you want to take a look at that, see that.
Go check
there.
It out.
Also, Scent Crusher. Man, partnership for a long time with Scent Crusher. We think they make the best ozone scent eliminating products. Finally getting my closet all set up and organized because it was kind of a catch-all during season. Yeah. Dude, everything. The gear bag, the roller bags. All of us packed roller bags full of Huntworth on our way to Wyoming.
Easy peasy.
We live out of it.
I had every set of clothing I needed.
The storage organization part of Scent Crusher is overlooked.
Yeah.
I think.
It's beautiful.
I think it's just as important as the purpose of why you would buy a Scent Crusher bag for scent elimination, to be honest. Old Barn Taxidermy. I told the guys in camp, I said, if you kill a bear and you don't fucking stop at Old Barn Taxidermy on your way home and your mount gets fucked up, don't call me and bitch about it to me because I tried to give you a fair warning. And I think everybody listened.
I think they did.
All of them listened.
I know the two before us for sure did.
I don't know about the last week of camp.
What the? Talk to them.
Yeah. Also, Loophole Optics, man. Rocking the new RX5 full draw. God, I butchered the name of that. The new rangefinder, the 5 full draw. Love it. Still got to get it set up though, to get the arc calculation all set up in there. But I mean, Loophole Performance eyewear, have to have them out west. Can't go anywhere without the
puffy
them.
Jacket.
Oh, the jam.
The gear.
The jam.
Bee's knees.
They make like really good clothing along with optics. It's cool.
They're just doing everything.
They're doing it all right.
Good for them.
Also, trophy line. I brought my trophy line platform out there, the EDP platform, just in case I didn't end up having to use it. We kind of got skunked with rain out there in Wyoming.
Yeah.
But check out trophy line, code WCB. Spy Point Trail Cams, the Flex is on the way. Pretty excited to get those rocking again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, rocking in the first place, but get the cameras rocking. I'm going to get up all my cell links going next week. Get that going. Camo Fire. I seen someone post in the Working Class Bowhunters group. Their wife found their Camo Fire box on their front porch. You can delete your history.
I can't help you on the front porch.
Maybe we should hit up Camo Fire and be like, hey, can you do discreet packaging? Like it's a porn company.
Maybe that'll be like my part-time job. So I just hide the packages for you.
You just drive out. Everyone's tracking.
Yeah. I'll track your packages down for you.
Yeah. Just put them in.
Just meet me at the nearest bar and I'll give it to you.
You get a Busch Light and a Camo Fire package.
We'll make some deals.
That's a good idea. So check out Camo Fire revolving deals. You know what? For shits and gigs, what's on Camo Fire right now, Doug? Let's look. ActiveCamoFire.com.
My wallet's going to hurt here.
Clothing. 20% off. Different brands usually. But yeah, you can get on there. It's all clothing, logo wear, stuff like that. So always changing.
Wow, it is all clothing.
There's a lot on there, actually. Yeah, they do different theme days on Camo Fire. CamoFire.com. These deals change in 6 hours and 42 minutes.
Hurry up.
Be new shit.
If you're listening to this, I'm sorry, you're too late.
You're too late because this launched tomorrow.
You should have been on there yesterday.
Different deals. Should have known we were going to get on there and tell you to go there. And Novix Tree Stands. Did you listen to last week's podcast? Frank was a hit. A lot of big compliments on Frank.
I still think we should make the mustache sticks, but we'll talk.
I like that. Code WCB22, 200 uses. Once they're used up, I'm pretty sure it's still active.
I think it is.
But once it's used, it's used. So
We'll find out.
American-made products. And right now we need that more than anything. So that's it for the business end of this podcast this week. We hope you enjoy this. T-Bone in the house, of course.
It's a blast.
He's the best. Does it get any better than T-Bone?
No, he's so good.
He's the best. Also, one more real quick announcement. I forgot. Bear Camp 2023. We're doing 1 week of camp. It's going to be the week of Memorial Day. I will have how many slots, the price, and all that up soon. Our Patreon members get first dibs at it. That's what we're doing. I throw it to them. It'll be up there. That info will be up to them for a week. If whatever's left over after that week, then it goes to everyone for fair dibs.
It's a blast.
Can't blame us for giving people who support us a little extra first dibs at an opportunity like that. So hope you enjoy this episode. Ton of fun. And thank you for the support. Enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
All right, Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast, man. T-Bone is back.
He's back.
I'm back.
What's up, brother? How you been?
Man, good to see you guys. Always, I mean, honestly, we do a lot of podcasts and radio shows and getting interviewed for all kinds of things. And I've been doing quite a few podcasts here in the last couple months.
But, yeah,
man, you guys are always the top of the heap. And I'm always – this is like home base. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I like, feel like I'm home, you know?
I like that, man.
Saving the best for last, team, right?
Yeah. No. But
that means
a lot. The name says it all, Working Class Bow Hunter. I mean, that represents what all we're about. So it
– For sure.
We've done quite a few over the years and, you know – me, I know Waddell feels the same way, and as well as Nick. So,
yeah,
this is home base, man. This is not even like doing a podcast. This is just like
buddies
talking to my boys.
That's right, man.
That's right.
Well, you know, we did one with Waddy, ended up just being a one-on-one, and then these guys showed up at the end just the way our schedules worked out. Yeah. And, you know, we got to get touch base with Nick now the way it's working so he doesn't feel left out. But Waddy went on some rants, boy. And I love it.
Yeah, there's been a lot, you know, I mean, there's a lot of nerves been touched with poor old Waddy over the turkey season. I mean, he's been run rampant all over the country hunting turkeys, and I think he gets amped up pretty good. And then
when this whole
deal about, you know, reaping turkeys should be stopped and it's you know, killing our population, you know, and I got to agree with Waddell, absolutely.
For sure.
That's freaking ridiculous. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
I will chime in and say there might be a little bit of a safety issue.
A safety issue, for sure, yeah, possibly.
I get that. I mean, I can jump in and on some conversation on that. But at the end of the day, man, as long as the states are on top of their biology and they make the legislature to, one, things you're doing habitat-wise or predator degradation, or the biggest thing is the limits of turkeys that you can hunt or the seasons that you can hunt them. Man, as long as it's a legal way of doing it, I mean, if they legalized wrist rockets for deer hunting, I'm for it. You know, if they
for sure,
I got to trust in them. It's kind of hard for me to say I trust a politician, but it's not necessarily a politician; it's the biologist I'm trusting.
Right?
Yeah. It's a chain reaction to the biologist. Yeah,
to give the legislatures the info they need, so that we get the right rules and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I honestly think it's habitat and predators. I mean,
I agree.
That's causing the problems. That's exactly what I think it is. And
Bone, we did a turkey OG series for DeerCast. Mark and I interviewed a bunch of, like, I think we're gonna do it every year, but a lot of the guys that like are big in the turkey hunting game, you know. And a lot of it kept kind of going back to like predation, like raccoons and stuff like that. And in Illinois, yep. I don't know what it's like in other states. I imagine it's the same. I think there should just be a bounty year round, like coyotes for raccoons right now.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, without having all the information, but right. just from what I know, I agree with you.
From what you see.
Yeah. And something else that a lot of people don't is fire ants. You know, fire ants, you know, when you have the poults and they get into their eggs and, you know, and as they, you know, fire ants will kill a small poult. They'll jump on them like crazy because, you know, we have fire ants around here. Fire ants get on them and they'll take them down, you know. So fire ants are a problem. I don't know if you guys have gotten them yet, but armadillos mm-hmm. are seem like they're making their way. They're real prevalent in Missouri, in the southern part of Missouri, but they're making their way north. It seems like they're going an extra 30 or 40 miles every year. They're going farther north and north. And I mean, I never had armadillos around here till about 10 years ago, and now they're all over the place.
That's crazy. So
they get into nests, and I'm sure that they're probably doing something because it seems like most of this is happening in the southeast.
Yeah.
And then I've seen some information. I'm sure you guys have too. It got posted and reposted, but the way they harvest pine trees here in the south, you know, a lot of the agriculture that we had right here in the Piedmont region where they planted corn, soybeans, and had agricultural crops, they ended up turning those fields into pine trees because that's the cash crop. Pine trees grow so well down here, you get a better return on your investment if you, you know, plant it in pine trees. So a lot of the agriculture where you're having to turn the crops, they did away with that, planted pine trees. And then in doing so, the hydrax is how they harvest trees now in the last 20 years, 25 years. Whereas before that, guys had to go out there and cut the trees down with a chainsaw. You grab it with a skidder and take it out. So in order to clear the underbrush, because it's like a jungle down here, everything's thick as a wicker basket, they used to go and they would burn every pine thicket, pine forest. They'd burn it, and then that way it'd clear it up to where the guys could get in there and chainsaw. But with these new hydraxes, that they don't need to do that anymore. So all these, the way things go when you're cutting pine trees is you do it in three stages. You cut it about 10 to 12 years in, you do a thinning, and then you do another thinning, and then you do a total clear cut. So when by the time you do a total clear cut, the forest is like a plantation cut. So the pines are real tall, but there's nothing underneath there. Well, if you let that much sunlight in there under that plantation cut, things grow up and it gets so thick that, you know, the turkeys don't want to go in there, and the predators can get them because they can't get up. So they can't fly and run from the predators easy. So it's easier for them to, you know, they like open areas where they can see and take yeah. advantage of their right. eyes and be in the fields and such like that. Open woods. That's why we get so much success out of burning our properties, because you got so much new growth coming back. It opens up the floor where they can scratch. And then they, you know, have all the young, tender growth that they can eat. That's why prescribed burning works so well, and it keeps them safe. So
I didn't know all that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It's a combination of all of that, you know, where the way they forest, you know, there's more pine trees than there ever was, so there's less fields.
Mm-hmm.
The way they harvest them, and then you got coyotes and raccoons and bobcats and yep. armadillos. I think those things are the not top one, two, or three that's causing the problems with turkeys. And just weather. You get yeah. wet weather, you have a wet spring, you're not going to have a good hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it drowned out the eggs and fire ants. And I mean, you can stack up a lot of things, but one thing that ain't is reaping. Because I can assure you, I don't have the physique for reaping. So T-Bone ain't putting a hurt on them reaping.
T-Bone, you just wear a shirt with a big full-strut turkey on the front of it.
I just roll, and they say... They say, surely to God, that ain't a human. That's got to be a tumbleweed. We're safe, guys.
Tumbleweed.
There you go. Just dress up like a tumbleweed. They'll never know you're coming.
Well, exactly.
Bone, we got a lot to talk about, man. But one thing I wanted to get while we're still kind of on the Wadi-related turkey talk. Yeah. That last podcast and kind of seeing Wadi on social media the last few years probably, and you being so close to him and knowing him, my perspective, and I think it's great, like I'm not, this is a praise to Watto, that I feel like he's gotten to the point in his career where he's kind of maybe saying fuck it is a strong word, but more like, I don't care now. I'm going to state my opinion, and if you don't like it, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. And I like unapologetically, you know, he's just going for it.
Yeah. He's definitely he's definitely a leader. You know, he has that leader mentality, and he's always been that way. But yeah, you're right. He has stepped it up a little bit, and I'll give you a little bit of background on that. Between talking with Ted Nugent and getting to talk to some of the politicians, and then plus the way the country's being run or semi taken over, and us getting a little older and more settled, it's like, if we don't do it, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to speak up for us.
For sure.
And it seems like there's so many people that have a platform that are like, I'll tiptoe, I'll support, but I'm not, you know, I don't want to be the guy to be, you know, and Waddell has taken the reins, and Nugent, and, you know, like Keith Martz and the guys at Hunter's Nation, and, you know, Waddell is a leader. I mean, he really is. And, you know, and I've tried to be that. I want to be a damn good wingman to Waddell. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, I want to be a damn good representative of Waddell. Waddell is damn sure the face of and the leader of Bone Collector, and or, you know, a leader in our hunting industry. And I'm not just saying that it's true, and I'm not just saying that as a friend, but I want to be a dang good wingman and back him up on that, and fly the flag. You know, I don't know that I'll ever be known as that guy, but I'm not afraid to say, you know, the things or back up what he's saying, because I do believe in the exact same things. Nobody's a better speaker than Waddell. He can talk the horns off a billy goat.
For sure.
But, no, I just think that he's gotten more into philanthropy. You know, it's just like, it's time to, you know, we've been fortunate enough, you know, and I feel the same way. Me and him both come from nothing. And Nick, too, don't have two nickels to rub together. We both, you know, it wasn't ever given to us. We pursued a passion, and we're in an industry. And the industry and the folks and the everything about it has been so good to us, you know, and we're getting into the latter years. You know what I mean? We're looked upon as, you know, the old guys. You know, we're getting there for sure. And it's time, you know, we've had a good living. We've got to put food on the table for our families. And it's just time for us to give back and to dig our heels in. And Lord knows, man, we've seen the changes. I was on another podcast just the other day, and we was talking about that. Like, we, you know, and I told Waddell this too. I said, man, it's kind of weird how we came in, because we started in the ESPN days, when you guys don't remember this maybe, but when the only hunting you could see, period, was on ESPN before TNN. So we were doing that. I was shooting tournaments, and, you know, and all the tournament coverages was big on ESPN. We had big money because Pennzoil and Budweiser and all these big companies was backing it because it was on ESPN. So we had lots of prize money back in the 90s, early 90s. And then it went away. So when ESPN dropped all outdoor programming, then TNN, which is the CMT now, which is the country music television, it was a Nashville network. I'm sure you guys remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where all your television shows was. That's where all outdoor programming. And then we transitioned into, you know, Outdoor Channel, cable television, Sportsman's Channel, and then we've transitioned into people having iPhones to talk, you know, to look at stuff on iPhones. Then you got the internet, then you got the streaming. So we've lived through it all.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, you know, we started when it was ESPN and TNN, and then we've transitioned all through. And you got to admit, you know, technology has really grown tremendously since the mid 90s.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And big time.
In the last 25 years. So, you know, we know that there's so many distractions on kids and stuff like that. And we can see our heritage. I mean, all the guys, I'm sure the Drurys will feel the same way that we're, you know, anybody that you talk to.
Yeah.
That has a little age on them is, man, we got to work hard. You know, Whitetails Unlimited, all these, groups that we are associated with and the organizations, you know, there's a lot to be said for whatever they're, whether it's ducks, whether it's turkeys, whether it's deer, saving all that. That is absolutely. But every one of those should have a portion that goes to saving the hunting heritage. Because no matter how much you save these deer and these turkeys and the ducks and the quail, if you don't have people and young kids getting into hunting, you know, I'm not just saying, you know, everybody focuses on the kids and they're very important because they're the younger group. But even just getting non-hunters in here. And I guess that goes back to what I'm talking about with Waddell is like, you know, like we need to make sure through philanthropy and our voice. We hope everybody does that. And we hope that we're doing it on a level that we inspire someone that's younger to inspire others as well, rather than just like putting it all on our shoulders and us being, you know, on the top of the rock. We're not saying that. We're just saying we're doing this. We can reach a lot of people, but we all as hunters need to be touching people.
Right. For sure.
So, yeah, I know that's the way we all feel, but yeah, Waddell sits around a lot of times thinking about what's going to be my next TikTok or what's going to be my next post.
I think it's great. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to have it, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it went from, and I mean, I can't even imagine, Bone, from being like thinking back in the ESPN days where everything then was like, I mean, road trips changed how outdoor television is like kind of perceived, I think. But even then, everyone's like all buttoned up, I would imagine, and like telecasters type, to where you got Waddell dropping an F-bomb or two on the Working Class Bowhunter podcast X amount of years later. But I think that's important. Like, I think it's more relatable. I think you can tap into more people when you're that way, because that's the reality of how people are, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then it makes people feel more comfortable, you know, the podcast, sure. And the way the road trip show was started. And then of course our Bone Collector show and a lot of the television shows and podcasts, people don't like to feel like they're being talked to. They want to feel like they're just dropping in on a conversation, okay. Just like a podcast. They want to feel like, you don't know I'm watching, but I'm watching you guys. And they don't want to be talked to. They just want to hear, like, I want to hear what, you know, when I was what T-Bone's talking to the guys at Working Class, they're listening, but they're not a part of. Whereas if you're being talked down to, it's like, man, who's he talking to? You know, if right. I sit here and talk to the screen and you're talking head, hey, nobody likes that. They just want to be, they want to eavesdrop in on the hunting camp.
It's for like, sure.
Quit pointing there? Your finger at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
You need to rattle a buck in this way.
Yeah. Listen, I'm the all knowing TV guy type of thing. Yeah. For sure.
Exactly.
But, yeah, you know, that, you can do both.
Nobody likes a chest pounder.
Yeah, you can do both too, you know, and I mean, that's what you guys do. I mean, whether that's the mission or not, and the same thing with like Mark and the juries and the Deercast platform, a lot of it is like, you know, a comfortable watch where you're learning, laughing, but you don't really feel like you're learning, but you are.
Yeah.
I think that's the recipe nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guy that gets on there and says like, you're going to learn something from me, and this is the only way to set up a bow, and nobody wants that.
No, yeah.
They want it to be a we and a, you know, embrace everybody. If you are talking to someone or sharing something, you want them to feel like, this guy's not going to browbeat me. This guy's going to give me a hug when we're done with this. You know, that's the way you want to feel.
Well, you do a good job of doing, like in the archery dojo there with your archery videos that you've done. I've watched a ton of those, and I actually had an archery YouTube playlist with a bunch of your videos. Like, it's just like, hey, I've been doing this for a long time. This is how I do it. And you show, you're not being, it's not forced. You're just showing how you do things, which is cool.
Yeah. I want it to come across as, gosh, I mean, I've been to so many shops across the country, and you know, my heart goes out to the independent retailer. I was one for 14 years. That's how I, you know, scratched a living out before was blessed with Realtree and Bone Collector. But I know I've been to a bunch of shops, and I know that archery is something that we have to support the independent retailer, and we have to, you know, the mom and pop shop, there's no mass merchant store. There's no Amazon that is going to replace getting set up with a bow. It's a tailor-made setup. So my heart goes out with that. I'm never going to be the guy to say, this is the way you have to do something. I'm always learning, because I'm looking at YouTube. I'm looking at people. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that rob information and, you know, regurgitate it, you know, but I'm not going to name any names, but
yeah, but we all know
those who,
most podcasts.
Yeah. So I would rather someone just say, this is how I do it, or give props to somebody that you for shared sure. that from. So, man, I, you know, like I've been doing D-loops this way, but I've seen the way so-and-so has been doing it. And I really like that.
Yeah.
I want it to be like letting everybody know that there's a bunch of different ways to do it. And there's a bunch of successful ways, and I'm a sponge. I mean, like, here we are 30 years into this, for myself, over 30 years. And man, I'm learning stuff all the time.
You're still learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. And
yeah,
you have such a positive attitude, and I love like your outlooks on things. And you know, Bone, I know a lot of our followers know some stuff you've been through recently, and I want to get into it, but I don't want to beat you with it, because I know you've done a lot of podcasts lately And yeah. a lot of people are like, man, when's Bone coming on? They knew this podcast was coming, but it was yeah. one of those things. It's like that line of like, give you your space and do your thing, but not, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think the timing is right. So you've gone through some changes, and I don't know. I don't want to go too hard on it if you don't want to. If you feel like you need to elaborate, you can do your thing on that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Anything you guys want to ask or whatever, I mean, it's totally open book. I hope that it helps somebody or inspires somebody. Yeah. I mean, if my big old redneck butt can make somebody smile and feel good about themselves, right. I mean, well, I've done my job.
I will say, we miss you in Wisconsin. We had dinner at the same restaurant. I sent you a picture, and you're like, man, dude, boys, I wish I was there.
Yeah. You missed it.
You have no idea. That I told my wife, and I have told my wife, that is definitely the top three steak I've ever had in my life. I don't know if it's because we didn't eat not one thing all day and we had a couple of alcoholic beverages before, so
it might have helped. Steak,
yeah,
that steak went bam. That was so good. That was so good.
It was good. We if you come back to that show, we'll have to just make that a tradition. If we're there, we'll try and do
I'm
that.
I'm there. I mean, y'all can join me because I'm going.
We had to stop the waitress and be like, can you take a picture for us so we can send to our buddy that couldn't make it this year?
Yeah. Man, that's a good show. Good location too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a good one. So we're going to be back there. So we'll have to do that. But I think we should do. We know we talked briefly before the podcast about the most recent update on what's going on. Let's touch on that, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. Yeah. Like I was telling you guys, and I'll let everybody else in on it. If you followed along, I've been got diagnosed with cancer at the end of October. Went through chemo all fall long. That's why I wasn't didn't get to hunt and travel that much. I did kill one older mature buck here at my place the end of October. Well, I got diagnosed in September, but we started treatments at the end of October. But got one buck down last year, and anyway, went through chemo. Man, it was. That beat me up pretty good. And then February 7th, I had, it's called a myxofibrosarcoma is the type of cancer I had. And it was in my shin on my right side. Now, a lot of people say when you have a tumor, and I've debated whether I should share the photos or not, but it was pretty rough and it's pretty gruesome. So this thing went from the size of a grape in July to by the time I got diagnosed with cancer, it was at the end of October when we started chemo, I had three portobello mushroom size, I mean like softball size tumors that were on the outside. They popped out of, I mean, wow. They made it through the skin. Cause you don't have much meat and fatty stuff on the front of your shin.
Mm-hmm.
It popped out. I couldn't wear blue jeans anymore. I mean, I was having to wear sweatpants or, huge type, that kind of stuff. And I was having to change the dressing. It was weeping and leaking two times a day. And then I went to it was gross, man. It was black and yellow and it was nasty. Mm. So, which we knew it was cancer. I just had to deal with it. And they, I'm thinking like, let's cut this off. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We got to make sure that your whole body is clear. So I started a really aggressive chemotherapy, in October, and it went through the first of the year. But the most people, when they get chemo, you get a 3 or 4 hour infusion. You go to the infusion center, you get an infusion, you come home. That same day, you're just there for 3 or 4 hours. The infusions I was doing was two types of chemo. I had to be admitted to the hospital, and they kept me on chemo for 5 days straight. Yeah, so they was taking me to the death's door. I'd get out of the hospital. I'd come home for 3 or 4 days, and, the chemo's kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would get infections. I mean, my immune system would go down, so I'd have to go back to the hospital. And I was getting antibiotics and getting taken care of for 5 or 6 days to recover from the chemo treatment. And we went through that three different times. And, and the whole time I'm losing my hair and, things like that. So it was rough. I mean, it was really a blur. I mentioned it the other day, me and my wife counted up. I was in the hospital 31 days at the end of 2021, and I only had the TV on for 2 hours.
No kidding.
Never watched the TV. Looked at my phone occasionally. But mainly was just lethargic, sleeping in and out, nurses coming in doing stuff. So, I was basically a zombie there for a while. So we quit chemo, and then we knew that it showed that I was clear, other than one nodule in my lung. That the chemo was working. That it was it was killing what was in my leg, but there was no saving my leg. So we knew as of like January 1st that I was going to have to lose my leg. Mm-hmm. But we had to wait 6 weeks for all the chemo to get out of my system because you can't have an operation right after your chemo. You got to let it get out. So we picked February 7th, and that was, you know, right on the money, about 6 weeks. So, you know, I kept all this hush just because I didn't know what we was going through. If you've ever seen my posts and stuff like that, it's just like,
oh yeah, we've seen everything.
Yeah. So I didn't let nobody in on it. There was just only about 15, 20 people that even knew what was going on all fall long.
Yeah.
And, I didn't let anybody know just because, you know, we just need some private time family wise to wrap our heads around it. But, you know, Absolutely. When you know you're getting your leg cut off and it looks like everything's going to be clear, I said, people are going to, they're going to notice T-Bone ain't got a right leg.
Yeah. Not like they cut your finger off.
Yeah. So I better let a few folks in on it. So yeah. Got my leg cut off February 7th. Been rehabbing. Still knew that the nodule was in my lung. Rehabbed with the leg. I had to go to a rehab center and learn how to do things. And then, you know, naturally I've been learning day to day. I don't have a leg. So I started the prosthetic process. I don't know. It's probably been 5 or 6 weeks ago. And then in the meantime, just learning how to adapt in the house through electric chair. And then I have a walker as well. So that's been my life, you know, for the past little bit. And then about 3 weeks ago, I may be wrong on these dates, but approximately 3 weeks ago, it was time to, the doctor said the nodule in your lung, I mean, when the chemo killed 99.3% of all, when we did the pathology on my leg, killed all the cancer in the leg, which was great. You know, that let us know that the chemo was working. So hopefully any other cells and stuff and the type of cancer that I had, it likes to go to the lung next. Okay. So with that said, knowing that the nodule was in there, it's like, do we leave that nodule in there? Because it's just as easy to take it out as it is to biopsy it. We don't know if it's cancer or not. So with that said, my doctor said, odds are it's not cancerous. Let's just keep an eye on it. And then me and my wife was like, man, I don't want to lay my head down at night knowing that that may be or might not be. I'm not doing chemo now. All it's going to take is that thing to jumpstart up. Right. And if it's as aggressive as it was on my leg, going from a grape to 3 big portamellas in 2 months, no, we need to get that out of there. Let's just, while it's easy to get and they don't have to open me up or lose half my lung, let's just be safe than sorry. So what For we sure. did is we went in there and the doctor, the thoracic surgeon, explained to me that they're going to cut the nodule out and then they're going to take a portion of my lung, which was about the size of a credit card or a little bigger. And they did that under my arm. And I have a new respect for a whitetail that gets punctured one lung.
You do. I didn't even think about that, but
my whole life, I've always tried to hit right in that crease right behind the shoulder.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting it felt to me. So, they went in there orthoscopically. They punched 3 big holes in there and got the lung out and took it out. And the pathology reports come back. And I did a CT scan last week. So the official pathology report and CT scan is there is no sign of cancer in me at all right now.
Awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's really a positive from last week. So with Great that news. Said, I've got to go to CT scans every 3 months. Yep. And that doesn't mean that some other type of cancer may pop up because that can happen to any of us at any time, you know.
Yep.
But as of this chapter of microsarcoma, it looks like there's no sign of cancer anymore. So we can focus on getting this prosthetic leg in a couple of weeks and, of course, just learning all summer long or learning the rest of my life to get used to, you know, life with just one leg.
Yeah. Well, that's great news for the situation.
It's awesome news.
And Bone, dude, like, I don't know how to word this without, I don't want this to sound wrong. I'm giving you a compliment, I guess, because I'm bad with like navigating, sounding, I don't know. You know
Especially
what I'm saying?
In this situation.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. I'm trying hard. What I'm getting at is like, you have such like the personality and the positive attitude to go through something like this. And I really think like you need that to get through like tough life situations and like, cause I feel like that's a big portion of your recovery is like how you can be
your attitude and
outside of that, you know, your attitude.
Huge. It's huge, guys. I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, man, that's just, it's
you should pat yourself on the back. Dude. You should have every right to.
Well, yeah. I mean, I look at it as, and first and foremost, don't think I ain't had a few days where my lip was poked out.
How could you not?
Yeah, I mean, there has been. I mean, but, you know, it's been pretty, I've been pretty proud of myself and my family, and it's real easy. No matter what anybody's going through, anybody that's listening, no matter how bad you got it, I don't care. You can't tell me how bad you got it. There's somebody that has it worse or is going through more stuff. And like, you know, like I've said on other podcasts, if I don't, you know, I know it, everything revolves around hunting and stuff. And they're like, you get back out there. And don't get me wrong, I want to. But at this point in time, I'm baby stepping it. I'm like, I'm looking forward to being able to walk into the toilet and take a big dump. Walk in.
Yeah.
Not hobble in on my walker. I'm looking forward to hobbling in there on one leg and a fake leg and taking the dump.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to those little things.
For sure.
Now, granted, that's going to open the doors up to getting on my lawnmower. I'm looking forward to that. Getting back in my skid steer. I'm looking forward to that. Climbing on my tractor.
Living your life.
I'm looking forward to that. It's the little things. If I don't kill another deer, I have already outlived my dreams. And I have, man, I have punched my ticket. I mean, honestly, if I don't kill a cockroach, it's been a wonderful, wonderful career. I see now that I'm going to be able to. But those are the things that I tell myself to help get through it, meaning like no matter how bad I've got it, somebody's got it worse.
Mm-hmm.
But to add to that, I can't thank the hunting community, the outdoor community, all my friends and family for all the support and outpouring of love from social media posts, from direct messaging, from, you know, just texting me, calling me, you know, a check-in. There's been so many people, I mean, hundreds of texts every week, every other day that come in, and those little things help you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just knowing, like, you don't ever want to go through this as a reality check. Me and Waddell talked about this, but like when I did that first post, man, all the outpouring and the amount of, you know, response as far as like comments and likes and those kind of things. Not that you ever want to let that be a barometer. It's a bad way to do it for a reality check, but it's a reality check to let you know that you've been doing things right, you know, throughout your career, mm-hmm. and or that you're loved by so many people, and that the hunting community and just hunting folks in general are just so awesome. I mean, it's just so blessed. So, you know, I tell everybody I'm super duper blessed, but all of that said does give you the inspiration to keep going. And you know, we've been given the platform, no different than Waddell feeling like he's a philanthropist. It's like, hey, I've got the platform. Maybe I can help somebody shoot a bow a little better. Now with this, I'm having to do this. Maybe I can entertain somebody hunting now with what I got going on. Maybe I can inspire somebody that's having a poopy face day. We can turn that around and you know, they're like, you know what, man, Bones, a big old dude, 300 plus pounds, and he's got one leg. And by gosh, he's smiling doing stuff. Maybe I can too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think of all of our veterans. I think of all of the, you know, wounded veterans and our heroes that have come back from war and stuff like that. I'm like, man, this ain't nothing. I mean, I've got some heroes to look up to that are, you know, living life and doing good. Like, I ain't got nothing to complain with.
Yeah.
I still shoot a bow. I can still go hunt. And I'm going to learn to do more things. So I'm down here in I've got a new passion for archery and stuff. We've been working on bows a little bit more. I just got a new bow in. We're setting up. So, and I'm good. I mean,
yeah,
we all have poopy days with two legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. It makes you think about things and what to be thankful for and stuff like that. You know, it's like you always get those reality checks a little bit.
Makes you take a step back and actually look at stuff.
And enjoy the little things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then so many people get sucked into those rabbit holes on the internet of negativity. And don't get me wrong there. You know, gas prices, I mean, you know, fertilizer prices, fuel prices, there's a lot of things to get rattled about, but in the scheme of things, within the four walls of your house and your community and your friends, you know, we need to be thankful. You know, there's a lot of countries that over there that would just like absolutely cut their arm off for a glass of clean water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
We got it pretty good, guys.
We got it real good. Real good. Man, Bone, I'm glad everything's on the up and up, man. And everything's going good and it went smooth. And, as far as, you know, some of your surgeries and what you've gone through up to this point. But, you know, I think I'm looking forward to, like, seeing your journey and, like, what you're going to put out. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I see you diving in deep, deep, deep into, like, archery content and some of that stuff. And
yep.
I find that interesting. I feel like that's a topic that no matter how many videos I watch, kind of like, I always compare food plots to this. I feel like I never feel like I know it. So yeah. I'm constantly trying to consume more with it. It's almost like when you read a paragraph and you know it's simple to understand, but you have to keep rereading it.
Like 87 times?
Yeah, that's how I feel when it comes to like technical archery stuff and like food plot type stuff. So maybe you're going to help me with that. I don't know.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, we've been thinking about that, and we're definitely going to ramp up some stuff. Actually, I'm going to post something here in a couple of days about FOC. It's something that we kind of stumbled upon, and that was a hot topic last year. And we're right here on the cusp of everybody getting ready to, you know, turkey season's over, you know, it's 1st of June, everybody starts yanking the bows out, start practicing all summer long. So yeah, we're going to start hitting some high points on some good topics.
That's exciting.
I definitely got to freshen up, because I built a bow press a couple years ago and I still haven't even put a bow in it yet. I just need to dive into it and do it.
Yeah. Once you start that, it's like archery is always like a good mix of golf and NASCAR racing, because you can always tinker with your bow and make it a little different, or try this, you know, put a little extra weight here, change a vane in the back, you know, move my rest, tune this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, if people would spend that much time and effort in their self into executing a good shot, you wouldn't need all the, you know, you got to work on yourself, suppress your nervous energy, and then you got to also, you know, work on your stuff too. So
it's too bad we're bad at golf.
That's right. Yeah.
I got a question, Bone. Yeah. So I know, like you said, there's things you got to look forward to first, you know, with like just living your life, how you live your life comfortably as you can. And that's ahead of you first and all that before thinking about hunting and all that stuff. Like that makes perfect sense. And I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, because
there's always a but.
I kind of see this leaning. Yeah, there always is. I kind of see this leaning somewhere, and it gets me excited to think about it. And you're either going to like feed this thought of mine, or you're going to just crush it right now, or you're just going to play neutral. I don't know where you're going to go. I wondered when I seen all this and talked with you and texted with you, I wondered if T-Bone could get back into competitive archery.
I'm really good friends with one of the para Olympic coaches, and he's been texting me, George Riles, and he's been texting me. Great guy. I mean, we've been friends for 30 something years, shot competitively together. And he's been bugging me. He goes, dude, he goes, you got to get back in. He goes, you're a shoe in to, and I'm like, well, I mean, let's worry about these other things first. But man, it's, my eyes are not as good, you know, 50-year-old eyes. I'm not saying that I won't, but, you know, that's a big commitment to start doing some, you know, disabled tournaments and stuff like that. But it could happen. You know, if I did it, I probably would do it from a sitting down position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, which you could do, right? Like that would be,
Yeah. No, you can. There's a lot of wheelchair archers, and you know, I would probably do it that way. Rather than, you know, I was amazed that when I've been standing on this prototype legs for two different versions, I was amazed how easy my equilibrium came back. You know, you think that you put a fake leg on and you're instantly like, whoa, I'm about to fall over. But I mean, instantly I could stood there for 30 minutes.
Easy. Really? No kidding.
Not fall over at all. I mean, it's just like, you know, all your weight, especially with me being heavy, is transferred over to one leg. So I've been sloughing off on my right side for the last, you know, whenever I stand up to get dressed and, you know, hop around and stuff, my one good leg is taking the brunt of everything. So, you know, it's wanting to go down because my leg is not centered up in my body. My middle leg's only about that tall. So
standing on it. I love that.
My leg needs to be centered. my legs to the left, and if I could switch, I'd put my little leg, over on the left side, and my main leg down the center.
Yeah.
it would be easier to tote. But when you're doing it on your left leg, you got a favor to the one side, and then your whole body wants to slough off where your right leg used to be. So, man, it's really heavy. You know, it's just like dragging you down. So when you get something to hold that up, it's like instantly like, whoo!
Relief, a little bit.
Oh my gosh, it's relief. It's like, you know, you just feel good about standing. Now walking, I'm having to learn to, you got to kick your leg out and keep going. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure I will be able to shoot my bow standing up for sure. But competitive wise, to answer your question, I would probably, just thinking about it right now, I'd probably go the wheelchair route.
Yeah,
that's probably the way I would do it. But I've thought about it. It just depends on the, you know, how much time,
of course,
you know, involved. But
I could I could also see you like going into that, you know, into that same thing, but coaching, helping them people out, trying to shoot and learn the, you know, without a leg or without arm and everything.
Absolutely. You know, as time permits and, you know, careers changing, I know that at this point in my life, at some form or fashion, I'm going to be doing something in the outdoor industry, whether it's, you know, still doing bone collector, which
it's your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be doing something. I'm going to scratch out a living doing something, even if it's fletching arrows at a local archery shop. Man, y'all drop by and see me or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hey, I'll send you some arrows to fletch up.
There you go.
He said, come by and see him, Eric. Not arrows.
Hey, I'll drive down there.
Yeah, we'll come down.
Well, and it may be a come by and see, but some way I will be scratching. I've been working real closely with a company that's based here in Georgia. It's called Last Chance Archery. And I've got all these inventions and ideas that I've had over the last 20, 25 years. But, you know, life's been moving in the last 15, 20 years at light speed. There's no time to settle down and work on these inventions. And, you know, I'm not a manufacturer. That's not what I'm good at. So
it's been real
great. But I got the ideas. So I've partnered with these guys, which they're all about manufacturing and shipping and everything like that. It has been a wonderful marriage. I've been working with them for at least a year now, and I've known the family for 20-30 years as well. The guy who started it, he and I used to shoot tournaments and stuff together, and that's why they called it Last Chance Archery, because he came up with that press, and it was like, this is it. If this thing don't take off, this is the last chance. I'm done. I'm getting old. I'm retiring. If this thing don't take off, we're done. So they named the company Last Chance Archery, and it took off like gangbusters.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool. You have that many resources like close by that you
can. Yeah, like working with the company UltraView. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they make releases as well as scopes and stuff. And I'm working with them on the grip end of things. So working with them, they're based right here out of Atlanta. Actually, they were all students of my buddy George Riles, who I was talking about is the Paralympic. So they're based right here in Atlanta. And then with Last Chance Archery, I've got like 6 or 7 ideas I took to them last year, and they're already out. They introduced them at ATA, the new broadhead tuner, the Revolution Arrow tuner, which I'm, you may have seen some of my posts. I'm super proud of it. This thing does everything. Nobody has ever brought something to market that actually tunes a broadhead. Everybody goes out and shoots their arrows, their field points arrows all summer long. They're grouping like madman, and then they throw broadheads on there, fixed blades or mechanicals. And they're like, oh my gosh, man, I can't shoot anymore. You know, my groups went from this to this. Well, with this tool here, you know, and it may not be for everybody to buy, but every shop should have one for sure, because you could drop by your shop and say, hey, man, how about spinning these and tuning my broadheads? And they put them on there, and you can actually tune the broadhead to be perfectly aligned with the shaft.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So I'm really, really excited about that one particular thing, because I've been doing that for 25 years, but I've taken it to a couple of broadhead manufacturers over the years and showed them my idea, but no broadhead company wants to come out with it because it would show that you need to tune their broadheads, you know?
Right.
So it takes a company like Last Chance Archery that just builds equipment to come out with that. That way, you know, no broadhead company has to say, you know, and it's all broadheads. It ain't just one broadhead.
Yeah, they're neutral into the archery game, really. They're just trying to help archery.
They're kind of the middleman. Exactly. You buy an arrow, you buy a broadhead, you need someone in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point, you know. You have a broadhead, you have an insert, you have a glue tolerance, and then you have the shaft. Somewhere in gluing all that together, things get off.
They're the middle leg between the two.
Yeah. It always comes back to the middle edge.
It always does. It does.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm working with them. So that's been real good. I bought a company, and I've got, you know, I just haven't been able to do it, but I bought a company. The old company was called Stay Tight Sling. A guy invented this in Southern Mississippi. He's an older gentleman. And if you watch any hunting video or you put a shotgun or a gun on your shoulder, what does everybody do? They take that thumb and they hook it under there so that it don't fall off their shoulder.
Yep.
I don't care what type of sling it is, whether it's rubber coated or whatever. And that gun is always wanting to fall off your shoulder. Well, this thing hooks to virtually every sling out there. You hook it to it and one will fit any gun so that you can take, you buy this thing and this, we renamed the company. I bought the company, loved it so much. The guy told me, he said, T-Bone, he goes, you can take this to the next level, man. I appreciate you. You know, I fell in love with it and I gave him accolades for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, I'm getting too old. I don't want to fool with it, but I would love for this thing to go somewhere. I said, well, just sell it to me. How much would you sell it to me? So I bought the company from him. I bought the patent. I bought everything, brought it back here. Again, I don't have the distribution and I don't have the way, you know, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So again, with my partnership with Last Chance Archery, we have it available. We've redesigned the packet. We've actually added to it, redesigned it, and made it even better. And the company's called Slingmate now.
Okay.
So
Slingmate.
Slingmate. Yep. So you hook it and you wrap it around and you're hands free. So you can climb fences. You can climb your deer stand. Remember, with people going up in a deer stand, you're always jacking your shoulder and climbing and worried about your gun. You got $2,000 in this rifle, but yet you're gonna chance crawling up, you know, over a fence or jumping on a four wheeler and you're riding down the road with a four wheeler and
you
know. And another thing, like I see turkey hunters, they got all these decoys on their back and then they're trying to. You won't have to jockey with it no more. And everybody says, well, I don't want to be locked in. Or they take the sling, a regular sling, and they go over their neck.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get out of that quick at all.
No.
You touch one button, you touch one little clasp down there, and I can get out of that. I can use that gun. Let's just say I jumped a coyote walking into my stand. I can get out of that thing as quick as you can get it off your shoulder and load it up. I can get out of it and load it just as quick.
No kidding.
We're going to do some videos to show that.
Okay.
Awesome. To show how quick that you can get that out of there. But this thing is a must, you know, because if you want to protect your shotgun from when you're going into the swamps, you're toting in decoys, you're toting out a bird, you know, like the gun is done. We're done with it, but we got to get it out of the woods. And then it's the most important part of the hunt, but yet you're just going to chance it to the sling and hope it don't fall off. And
yeah,
how many times you watch TV real close now, because I've watched this. People go to get down and take the hero shot on the their buck or whatever, and they do this and the gun's falling off. Yep. And they don't know what to do with the gun.
Yeah.
You can put this thing on and yet it's usable too. So I'm super duper excited about this, you know, just bringing it to the masses. It's doing well as it is now, but I can't wait to get behind some more promotions on it and show you guys. But
that's awesome.
It's really a no-brainer.
You know what's really funny too, that you mentioned all this, Bone, because I, you know, I've killed deer with guns, but I was inspired this spring to get a turkey gun. Just for turkeys. So I killed a couple birds this spring, and I got a sling just from Bass Pro or whatever. And I was doing that. Me and my buddy Joe Humphreys were going in with decoys and all the stuff, and I'm, like, doing the high shoulder.
Yep.
And then
– trying to keep it there.
And then we killed a bird. And then on the way out, I did the Rambo with my sling, and I'm, like, trying to – then I'm trying to throw the bird over my – back with my gun, and it just wasn't working. So I'm in the market.
I tell you what, I'll send you guys some.
We'll buy some. How's that?
I'll send them to you.
We're gonna buy them from you.
No, I promise. I want to send them to you. Let me send them to you. I want you to try them, because you, honestly, you watch anybody on any show, the first thing they do is they take that thumb and secure it. So you're handicapped. You can't look through your binos. If you got this on, you got two hands to climb, to ride a four wheeler, to jump a fence, to use your binos. I mean, because you only need you're getting from truck to the stand, or you're getting from truck to where you're going to set up on the decoys. You want that gun secure so it's not coming off of you.
For sure,
you don't really have to worry about it. This thing will go over a backpack and say, well, I can't use it with a backpack. It goes, I mean, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Seriously, guys.
You don't want a barrel full of dirt, you know?
I know. I don't get that. Like, look at my gun. I got $1,300 in the scope. I bought the gun. I got $1,000 in it, and I'm gonna hope I get up this 20-foot tree stand.
It's so true.
Don't fall.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other solution is you pull it up with a rope. How many people like pulling up a gun with a rope, looking at the barrel?
Dude, I've done that with muzzle loaders, and I'm like, this feels wrong.
It's not loaded, but it's still facing in the face, and you're like, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So this solves all that. So it's not a sling. It just goes with any sling that you got. You know,
That's awesome.
It fits 95% of all guns out there. So I'm real excited about that. And
I'll put a link in the episode description if people can get on there and buy them right now. Yeah. You know, I'll put it in there.
Absolutely, you can go to Last Chance Archery and look up Slingmate, and you can buy all you want. Great Christmas gift, under $20.
See, awesome. That's awesome, man.
Awesome.
Yep.
Dude, that's exciting. You think for a guy going through so much and so many changes, you'd relax a little, but you're just busier than ever, man. That's good.
Well,
you need it.
Well, it's proof positive. It's, you know, you're doing something that you're passionate about. You don't feel like you worked a day in your life.
True.
Right.
Yeah. True. So, I mean, no, I'm super blessed, guys. We're all super blessed, but I don't want to speak for you guys, but I'm super blessed.
Well, we're blessed, man.
We are.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't realize it, you know, we fall into those traps in life just like everybody else, you know, but it's,
I mean, we're just blessed. I mean, 7 years ago, we didn't think we'd be sitting here being friends with T-Bone, you know,
that's true.
Sitting down with dinner with him and stuff.
Yeah. No kidding. Right.
I know it, man.
Eating a delicious steak.
Yeah. We, like I said, this is home with Working Class Bowhunter. Absolutely. Love you guys.
It's crazy. We talked about, we did a podcast for DeerCast. It's, by the time this episode launches, it had already launched, but someone asked, Doug, I think you mentioned it. You brought it up, but the question, we did a Patreon questions and someone asked, what's your favorite, one of your favorite moments while knowing each other, like during the podcast? And Doug brought up a good point. The first time that we had a podcast scheduled with all three of the Bone Collector guys is like waiting. When we finished the previous podcast, we were waiting for you guys to show up. Like, oh, they're coming to like record with us. Like, this is crazy.
We're all nervous and stuff.
Yeah. It was the first time we actually did. And we had done other podcasts before, you know, separate. Not all of you guys at the same time.
Met him in person, too.
Yeah, all before is over the phone. And
Yeah, but it was all three of you guys in person at the same time on the podcast. Like, there together, like, around the table. And it was just kind of one of those cool moments for us.
Well, let me ask you this, like, I mean, and shoot me straight. I mean, you know, because we're all good, close friends. But like, when the first time we came in, like, what did you guys think? I'd like to hear from each one of you. Like, what was your impression? And you can say, like, man, you know, Nick's a jerk or T-Bone's a jerk or whatever like that. I mean, honest opinion. It's like, because you hear so many people, it's like, you know, they meet you in line. But we really got to share some time that day with you
for
guys.
Sure, right.
People come by in line and they say like, man, you're just like us. You're real people. And I'm like, dude, I don't feel any different. I mean, there's a camera shoved in our face a lot and, you know, but honestly, I'm still the guy that the fat guy that, you know, didn't have two nickels to rub together when he was a teenager.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So
Bone, honestly, man, and I can't speak for you guys, but I think we're probably in the same parallel here. We can all say what we need to say, but, I feel like, It's you know, people say never meet your heroes.
I was going to bring up that same subject.
And in this case, I disagree with that because you guys are exactly, and we've done podcasts over the phone and talked on the phone and stuff. So I feel like I kind of knew you already more than I knew Waddell and Nick. But it's exactly how I thought it would be. But then too is like you and I are both into the UFC. So while everybody else is off talking about something else, you and I are talking about fighting. You know what I mean? So for me, like I feel like that's like that different. I feel like we really know you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know so now, but I guess I'm saying, what was your reaction that day? You know, like, as soon as you got, I mean, like now I'm sure there's a longer relationship, but I'm just like, you know, you guys was talking about the anticipation of us coming by or whatever. And I'm not trying to blow us out of the water. I'm just like, it surprises me to hear someone saying all these things. And I'm just like,
I hear what you're saying.
I think for me,
I don't know where it gets to that point. Meaning like, I'm like, dude, man, I mean, you're like, y'all are acting like Brad Pitt or Justin Timberlake or somebody's coming by there, you know? Right.
Well, it's our perspective.
That's how we kind of felt.
It
kind of
was like that.
Yeah. We were all nervous. And then once we sat down and got 10 minutes in or so, we're like, We're just hanging out with the boys.
It's what we thought it would be.
Yeah, that's what we thought, but we didn't know what to expect. So it was kind of like, we're nervous as hell. But then 10 minutes in, we're like, yep, these are our people.
Yeah.
And I guess early on in my career, I was that way too. I mean, in like I was real fortunate enough to get to work with, you know, David and Michael and, you know, Realtree and a lot of the celebrities that I worked with them when I had the shop. So, you know, a lot of them, I'd build it up in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to come up in a limo. They're going to be getting out of a limo and I'm going to have to set up their bow. I mean, got to make sure the store's closed, park your limo around back. You know, I'm thinking like, where are they going to land their helicopter?
Right. You're out there painting a helicopter.
Exactly. And then like, you know, they show up. I mean, it made me realize that like Foxworthy was prime example, just as cool as a cucumber. Just like us, you know, he was proud to show me he had a 10-ounce Sprite bottle that he takes and he duct tapes it in camouflage duct tape. And he uses it, you know, he was proud to show me his spit bottle. Look how compact that is, T-Bone. And well, this was before I was even called T-Bone. Look, you could put that in your pocket.
That's amazing.
Like, this is Jeff Foxworthy, man. I mean, this is the epitome of comedy. And he's right here in my store.
He's trying to sell you a product.
Yeah.
Look at this thing.
See, Jeff Foxworthy, man, like, I don't know. It's different for me growing up because you guys, Mark, Terry, you know what I mean? Those are my... Because I didn't really watch a ton of movies. Like, you guys were my celebrities.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, you know, Blue Collar Comedy Tour, like, that is...
blew up.
Everybody knows Jeff Foxworthy. Everybody that hunts knows you guys and the juries and that stuff. But you guys were my celebrities. Like, if you've seen my DVD video VHS collection, it's true, man. Like, it's... Anybody that comes to the studio, they're like, Jesus, man, you aren't kidding. You got every one of them, you know? So yeah. I grew up as a fanboy. So
I was too. I honestly
Jeff Foxworthy in your bow shop, man, has to be crazy though.
Oh man. And then this is another thing, another, you know, wow moment for me is like Monster Bucks. This was before Realtree used the name Monster Bucks. The Drurys had the Monster Bucks.
Yeah.
Don Kiske and Jay Gregory were on there, and Herb? I think it was Herb Schultz, but anyway, they were on the DVDs.
That's one DVD I don't have.
Oh my gosh, man. I was like, well, it wasn't even a DVD.
VHS.
Yeah. So I was like, God, man, what it would be like to meet one of those guys or just, and now I'm like great friends with Don and Candy Kiske. I talk to them at least once a week.
Yeah.
Mark and Terry just, we texted for 30 minutes yesterday. Uh-huh. Me and Terry. I mean, like, I'm still pinching myself. I think we talked about this before, but I won, before we even started Bone Collector, I was a shop owner. I won a free hunt to come hunt with the Drury brothers and a whole outfit of scent blocker suit and a whole thing of biologic food plot supplies for a whole year. And,
no kidding.
2005 at the ATA show, because I was a shop. I was going as an owner.
As a dealer, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going up there as a dealer, and I win this thing. So I've still got the ticket. I keep it in my office, and every year I show it to Mark and Terry. I'm like, hey, I still got to cash this in. You know?
You never went, did you?
No, I didn't, but that's what Terry was talking about. He says, man, I'm glad to hear you're doing good. You got to come hunt. I said, we'll take baby steps. You know, a lot of people think like, well, you can't go hunt there. They're mossy oak and you're Realtree. I'm like, that has never been a issue at all with us and the Drurys. We're tight as a tick.
We just talked about that too on that other podcast, the same one where Doug brought that up. Like there was I can't remember which video it was, but you guys were together with the Drurys. I can't remember which one, but I remember being a fanboy of both. You know, separated platforms, even though it's not.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that being like, oh, wow. Like, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things.
Yeah. And Mark and Taylor and, you know, Matt, all of them, they check in. I mean, as much as anybody, I mean, on a weekly basis, they're such good people. You know what I mean? And they got it figured out. You know what I mean? We're making a living in the industry. Absolutely. We're providing for our family. But they're doing it the right way. They're staying loyal. They're absolutely doing it the right way. So
for sure,
you know, Yeah, and I think that they would have, I would hope that they would have positive things to say about us as well. So, you know, they're on that philanthropy bandwagon as well, meaning yeah. It's time to, you know, speak up about things. And they've done such a great job, and they've been such great friends. It's like,
yeah,
it just sucks that we can't spend more time together. Man, I wish we could, you know, just like two or three times a year have two or three days together in some type of camp. You ain't got to kill nothing, but just like being camp.
Yeah, camaraderie camp. Just doing whatever.
Exactly. And I told Terry, I said, well, I can't commit to it right now. And I felt bad about this because David Blanton asked me to go to 7J Outfitters, and it's been years since I've been there, but he wanted me to go the first week of September. And I'm like, I, you know, cause he had to put in for the license at the 1st of May. And I was like, it killed me to tell David that, like, man, I do want to go so bad, but I hate to commit and take up a spot. And or you guys put in for, you know, $400-$600 license and then me not being able to go. It's more than just the everybody thinks about, well, man, we can get you out of the side by side and get you down the hill 100 yards or so, you know, and you can walk it far. It's more than that. You got to think about airlines. You got to think about, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I'm not familiar with one leg, and I got to build up confidence.
Yeah, I get that. Sure.
I told him, I said, you know, I would like to think I'd be ready by then, but let's just wait and see.
You just don't know.
And then I told him, I said, you don't have to put in for a license. If I feel like I'm up to it to go in August, I'll just come hunt. I won't have a license. I mean, they're not going to write me a ticket, right? I mean, are they going to write a guy with one leg?
I got one leg.
Yeah. Or what we always usually do in the industry, or some folks do, is I'll just hand the bow to the cameraman. It's his fault. The cameraman did it. I don't ever do nothing wrong. It's always the camera guy.
That's the way it goes nowadays.
And for anybody listening, I'm totally being sarcastic.
For sure.
Leaked footage comes up of T-Bone screaming at his camera guy. Oh, man, he was kidding. He was serious.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like that you brought up a lot of that. You know, like, what? How did we feel when you guys came in, going back to that a little bit? We all of us as a group, like I ate dinner with Mark the other day and his wife, and he like held my kids and like one of those like pinch me type moments. And someone like posted a picture of me and Mark and hold my kids, and they're like, man, is that ever like how does it feel that you get to casually eat dinner with Mark? And literally every time we do a podcast with like Bone or anybody that we've looked up to in the game, we all have the conversation of like, dude, can you believe it?
Every time we sit back and
I don't know,
like, it's crazy.
Yep.
Oh, I still do the same thing, guys. I mean, I know I'm a generation ahead, but proof positive is the day before my surgery on a Sunday, Tyler Jordan and Bill Jordan drove up here and spent 3 hours with me. Like, I'm fine. I mean, I was cutting grass or something like that. I mean, this is before I lost my leg, even though I had a tumor. It wasn't hurting or nothing, but they come up and spent 3 hours with me. We just sat in the man cave and chatted and, you know, reminisced about old things. I mean, like, and I'm pinching myself. I'm like, and I've known Bill for 25, 30 years. I mean, I know him real well, but nonetheless, even though I've worked for him and with him and we still have a partnership, it's like, dude, that guy took the time to come up here and spend time with me, him and Tyler both.
Yeah.
And it was so sincere, and he's checked in so much. I mean, just absolutely everybody in the industry. Cuz Strickland, I mean.
Awesome guy, yeah.
Yes, absolutely awesome guy. So, you know, it's there may be different colors of camouflage, but, you know, the hunting industry or community.
We're all the same.
Not divided. Man, we're under the umbrella, dude.
Yeah, right. There's enough for everybody to make a living, you know.
Yeah. Now, people who shoot a PSE bow, now, I don't know about them.
No, we're not talking about them.
We're just talking camo.
We're just talking about camo. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, man, it's always good to talk to you, man. We always have, it's just easy. You know what I mean?
It's fun.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about getting with you guys, and really anybody. We just have a good time, but it's always good to catch up with you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, I don't know if y'all are, y'all are needing to go.
No, we're not.
Don't worry about me, man. I got all evening, so don't worry about me.
Same here, brother. How long you want to go? Want to try and set a record or what?
No, it don't matter. Hey, we'll just go till it feels uncomfortable, I guess. So it doesn't bother me. But I was going to mention, I was wanting to know, like, explain to me just because since you guys are doing stuff, you know, formally with Drury's and the podcast and stuff,
yeah,
I've been kind of out of the loop. Just explain to me or let me know, and I'm sure their listeners wouldn't mind hearing again, mm-hmm, how that works or how that's broke down.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing some podcasts as well with Matt.
Matt and Tim, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, man, basically, like, the easy way to break it down is we do a series that's basically directly correlated to DeerCast called Working Class on DeerCast.
Okay.
And what was cool about it, like, when we had the conversation like several years ago with Mark and Matt and Terry and Tim.
Trying to get something set up,
and it didn't work out at the time. And since then, we just got to be good friends with the guys at Drury and Taylor and, you know, everybody else involved. And a couple years went by, and me and Mark were talking on the phone one day, just kind of like BSing. And both of us were just kind of like, why are we not doing something? Like, let's talk, you know, because we, at the time, that was when I was doing the podcast out of my house and I had a full-time job, and the stars didn't align. Well, we got the studio and built this place, and we kind of talked. It's like, man, we have the place and I can have the time if we think we can make something work. And
that's about right when you're going full-time too.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was just kind of,
all the stars aligned, like you said.
Yeah. It was like, well, what do we need to do? I'm like, man, well, we could do a weekly series and let's do it exclusive on DeerCast. And which DeerCast, a huge fan of DeerCast, of course. So I'm like flattered to even be on DeerCast. But
yeah,
and I thought it was going to be like, hey, the main home for the series is DeerCast. But Mark's like, well, we might as well put it up and put the audio on your platform too. Like, more places, the better, right? And I'm like, well, hell yeah, you know? So it's just another series another weekly series we do. They go up every Monday, audio on every podcast platform on our network. And then
so you got Working Class Bowhunter, and then they have Matt and they have their Drury DeerCast podcast. And then this one is a conglomerate or a partnership. It's separate.
Yep. It's a Working Class Bowhunter DeerCast blend called Working Class on DeerCast. So, and that goes up every Monday, and then it goes up a video version of that goes up on DeerCast every week.
Perfect.
So
that's so great.
When you get T-Bone on a DeerCast episode.
Yeah.
I'll do it, man. You know me. I talk bad about Waddell, but I'm just as guilty of talking the horns off of Billy Goat.
I love it. Dude, I just love talking to you guys and just anybody, you know, like, it's all good people. We're all in the same family. Like, it's just easy, you know, but
it is real easy.
But we're very blessed to have that connection. And I honestly, you know, I told Mark this, and we actually were on a podcast with Cuz Strickland, me, Mark, and Cuz Strickland for a Turkey OG series we did for that DeerCast. So we interviewed, we had one with Cuz, and we're talking about, like, in the connection from turkeys, how a lot of these guys got their big breaks in the industry because of the wild turkey, and, you know, Waddell being one of them, you know. And on that podcast, I'm like, well, Mark, like, you are my big break, really. And it was kind of cool the way it came in, because it just allowed us to do more with Working Class and kind of get the umbrella a little bigger for Working Class. And we were able to do things we want to do and
open more doors and stuff.
Open more doors, make new connections, make new just relationships and friendships. And full speed ahead. So
it's a slow and steady process, meaning, like, a lot of people that listen and everything, they may think that, like, for me, Waddell and Nick, everything started with Bone Collector in 2008. But I mean, just like you said, like, you know, Mark being, you know, possibly your big break or whatever, or a huge stepping stone, let's put it this way.
For sure.
You know, I want everybody that, you know, so many kids out there, young guys, you know, in their early 20s, they think, like, man, we're going to start doing this on YouTube, and they expect it to take off, you know, and be superstars within a year. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm just trying to give them hope, or let them know that whatever you see or know of, you know, me and Michael and Nick back to 2008, they're still 20 years behind that, where we were doing things in the outdoor industry. Yeah. But the big thing is if you follow your passion, you'll never feel like you worked a day in your life, and look at it as a journey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is a journey. It's not a destination. It is a journey.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes. Cherish these times, guys, because there's going to be, you know, I'll probably be dead and gone, but you guys will be deep into your career 10, 15, 20 years from now. And, you know, you're going to be like, golly, remember when we had Bone on there? Man, he's a pretty good old dude, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be moments like this, and you're going to think that right now you're like, these are, you know, some things are not that big a deal, but man, it's memories that you're making. And just if young folks, instead of getting so used to the instant gratification yeah. that you get from social media, just enjoy the moment, you know, and take it for just a small little step. And then eventually you get down the road, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, you know, like when you say 20, like we've been doing this podcast just over 7 years.
Yep.
Seven and a half, going on 7.5 years. Not a long time, really, when you break it down. As far as podcasting is concerned, we're one of the oldest, which is weird.
Yep. So we're like old and young at the same time.
Yeah, we're old and young. We're middle-aged, I guess. But it's funny because there are some people that are like, you know, it's weird. It's a weird thing because there's people locally that kind of like, oh, yeah, you do that podcast thing. And then I'm like, well, I do it for a job. And then people don't take it seriously. They think it's kind of silly. Like, just probably, it's like, oh, hey, Bone, you still doing those videos? Like, I'm sure people locally probably think it's big. But anyway, I don't know how I'm trying to word this. But then there's people think that it happened in 50 episodes. When in reality, it's like, man, we day jobs to come do this and every week and then doing the shows and the commitments. Like, we don't have the 20 years, 30 years of experience yet. But we understand the grind it takes to grow what little we have in close to pushing 10 years.
We've been
doing
it for 7 years, but we've been busting ass for 7 years, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we within that 7 years, you know, that's a commitment. And a lot of people ain't ready for that. Mm-hmm. Well, and if they're not ready for that, that tells me that they're not passionate about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like when I started doing something in the outdoor industry, I quit working for Mercedes-Benz and I didn't know if I was going to fall flat on my face. I took a huge pay cut, but I knew that I was doing something I loved, and I knew that if I was going to try it, now's the time to do it because I was young. I didn't have a family and kids, and I didn't have responsibilities. I'm like, if I get to that point, then I'm going to be dependent on that paycheck, and I'm not going to be able to back off on that. So
you can't jump when you want to jump. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Meaning, like, I can try it now, and if I fall flat on my face, I fall flat on my face. The only person that I'm hurting is myself.
Yeah, right. It's on you, and you just get back up and find a job. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, I knew that I could find some kind of job, you know, go back to Mercedes, or I got a degree in HVAC. So, I mean, I had a 2-year degree in that. And, you know, remember the joke that Nick always says that I got a 2-year degree and I never worked in that industry at all. I still worked for Mercedes-Benz because I graduated because I wanted to make my mom proud. But before I graduated, a month into it, I said, man, I do not want to do this. And I felt so bad because I feel like I just wasted 2 years of life and money and going to school. And kids don't know what they want to do.
No way, man. No way.
It's terrible to make a kid decide, like, go to college. You got to tell me what you're going to do the rest of your life. I'm like, man, you just got out of high school. You can't do that to a kid.
I remember those days. I mean, it's not that long. You know, I remember that vividly going, I don't know what the hell I want to do. Like being like a sophomore and you're like trying to pick like college credit classes and stuff. Yeah. I'm like,
hey, you go like the career fairs and they're like, oh, people are just trying to convince you to choose this is what you're going to do the rest of your life.
Hey, so, buddy, over here. It's like, I was like, I don't want to fucking do any of this.
And you guys are coming along and especially this generation now is you can see that entrepreneurship is even way broader than it was like when I got out of high school because
the internet,
YouTube and internet and you know, absolutely. You can get mail order sales and
OnlyFans so and
I even thought about doing an OnlyFans. I mean, I really did.
Everybody pictures that middle leg, man, it's gonna make some money.
No, sell pictures of your foot.
Somebody wants to see this, and if I could charge by the pound.
That's a deal and a bargain, you know.
Yeah, but my point was on the
sorry about that.
HVA school. That's all right. Getting out of HVA school, Nick always says, you know, because I never worked in that industry, and Waddell, he came from that industry. But when I got out, he says, Nick always says in our seminars, he goes, T-Bone's got a degree in HVAC technician, but the only unit he's ever pulled is his own.
I love that. That's awesome.
That's probably true, though.
Hey, whatever works. It's funny, like, HVAC, though, is like a killer career path. Like, all my brother-in-laws are in it, and it's like, I always thought, you know, I went to school for, I went to like, I did, I have a 2-year degree and I got business management and marketing. Cause I was like, I could kind of use that wherever I go.
That's what most people do.
You know, cause I still didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. Yeah. And so, but anyway, I always thought like that'd be a good backup plan. John Deere helped me out in the meantime, yeah. But,
I'm kind of the opposite. I loved welding from when I was young. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to be a welder.
See,
I don't need to go to college for this.
But you're so lucky. I mean, you might not seem lucky, but it's awesome that you had that interest in like welding and fabrication.
Right. And my old man was a welder and everything. So he got me into it. I'm like, I love this. I don't need to go to school for someone to teach me something I already know how to do and love.
And you're good at it. That helps.
And I'm good at it. Yeah.
Honestly, you know, if I had it to do over, and, you know, if they put a gun to my head, that's what I would do is go into welding, fabrication, machinist, yep. That kind of thing. That's probably what I would go into because I like tinkering and building and inventing yep. and stuff like that.
Well, that's like, doing that. Like last year I made my own bow press. I found plans yeah. online and I built it myself. And I mean, yep. it's
take that last chance archery.
I think the design's kind of stolen off theirs. I'm like, too loud, but
hey, you're not selling it. It's just in your house.
It's in my garage.
Yeah. Then I went the opposite, and went mechanical engineering. So
right,
yeah,
5 years of my life.
Well,
but,
hey.
I mean, that's a good job, and it's, you know, if you enjoy it, that's fine. But so many people are in jobs that they just can't stand. Yeah. I mean, like yeah. they slam their head into the wall, and it just, you know, and especially in this day and age, it doesn't have to be that way. So,
yeah.
you know, I like to tell people to pursue their passion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you feel that way when you were at Mercedes? Did you have that like bang your head against the wall type feeling?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I enjoyed the work because it's hands on. I did interior work. So mm-hmm. I was having to drive to Atlanta every day and I did interior work like covering leather dashes,
yep.
Leather, you know, dashboards, anything having to do with the interior, headliners, convertible tops, covering seats. I did anything like that, meaning I didn't work for Mercedes-Benz, a dealership. We did all the service
yeah.
stuff for the dealerships, and we did all the warranty work for them. So we may be working on a 1956 190 SL, restoring it, but we did it exclusively, or we did all the, there's three major dealerships in Atlanta, and anything that they came in, related to the interior, like, hey, we got a faulty door panel or this one's ripped, can you cover it for us or fix it? So we would handle all the service work for the three dealerships as
very
well
cool.
as
that is awesome.
When there was downtime and stuff, we would restore old Mercedes, mainly the convertibles, but we'd work on all of them, you know, putting new seats in, horsehair pads. So I enjoyed the work because it was hands-on and you were, you know, building something, fabricating
intricate type. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
and it's kind of it's something different every day. It's yeah. like I worked at John Deere at the factory, and that was the same job every day for 12 hours. That's all you did.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah,
real tedious work.
Man, I just don't know that I could do that assembly line doing the same thing. I don't know that I could do it. But what got me is I didn't like driving into Atlanta. I was having to drive. It was only 30 miles, but it would take me an hour and a half every day. One
Holy
way
smokes.
One way.
One way because of traffic.
Ugh.
Yeah, go in, come home. And it was just eating into my life. You know, that was 3 hours every day, roughly 3 hours every day. And it was only 30 miles, you know. So just that and having to deal with in Atlanta. And, you know, I'm like, I just don't want to do this for the next 30 or 40 years. And yeah. I just couldn't get enough of, I was shooting competitively. And I was spending probably 30 to 40 hours in my dad's basement. I built a little shop there. I even built a press myself, too. You know, my buddy's a welder. And I helped design it, and I helped him weld it. I can weld, but I didn't have a welder in fabrication. But between sure. me and him, we built a press way back when. And so, I mean, I was working on bows, you know, just like I was telling you, the NASCAR whole scenario in my basement, you know. So I just, like, I want to do something in the outdoor industry. I don't know what, whether it be, I may be a salesman, you know, I may be a sales rep for an archery company or fishing or just something in the outdoor space. And then I had a job, a guy asked me about coming to work at his shop, and I took a huge pay cut, but it was, you know, closer to the house. It's only 15 miles, all driving through the country to get there. And I'm like, I'll do this.
You're already ahead right there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you close enjoy it. House.
Exactly. And I haven't looked back since. I mean, I'd worked 60, 80 hours a week there and never feel like I, you know, I didn't even bother me. I enjoyed fletching arrows for people and, And I got really, I felt good about, I guess I'm a natural salesman kind of. I loved, and I don't like the selling people something, but I like kind of, I like to, and I hope my YouTube videos come this across. Like I just like to show what I've chose, mm-hmm. or you can go these routes, but I like this for this reason and let them choose.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not just saying, hey man, if you don't get this right here, you backing up.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't like to come across that way.
Yeah.
I like to explain the pros and cons to everything and let them decide, you know, and
for sure.
You
know,
for sure. Yeah.
So I enjoy that. And then taking someone that you can tell they walk through the door, and that they're so, and everybody that has a pro shop or has ever been to a pro shop, they're scared to go. It's like, man, I want to get into bow hunting. I remember my experience in archery, my first experience with my dad buying me a recurve, him not knowing what to buy. He bought me a recurve that was too strong. So that was a negative. And I've fought my whole life to make sure that I try to educate people or let people know that are interested in it. It don't have to be that way. So mm-hmm. I want people to have a good experience in getting into archery, and then they're off and running. And then we've got a great advocate for hunting, for outdoors, for everything. Once they're off and running, that's my little give back for being in archery. So when I went to buy my first bow, because it was 10 years after my daddy gave me that bow, I had it in my head, I can't pull 45 pounds. So I wouldn't even pull the bow back when I was there. You know, so many people are like, man, I'm going to be embarrassed in front of my buddies if I can't pull this 65 pound bow back. And I guarantee you, everybody that's ever bow hunted, has crossed their mind. It's like, I'm going to look like a dang fool in front of everybody.
We've all been there.
I was so bad. I felt so bad about that. I wouldn't even pull the bow back that when I got, I took it home. I bought a $400 setup back in 1988, and I didn't even know if I could pull it back. Took it home. I just told the guy to tie the peep sight in where he thought it needed to go.
No kidding.
You know, he was like, and I got that bow home. And there's a huge transformation from 10 or 11 year old boy to a 19 year old boy.
Yeah.
So I should have known better. I was so stupid. I should have known better because I was benching 260, 270 pounds, you know, playing a lineman in high school football. I should have known better, but I got that bow home and I about ripped a limbs off of it. And then instantly I felt like, man, I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody's felt that way because you can just tell how people are when they come to a bow shop. They're like, oh man, I ain't going to be able to pull this back. So I enjoyed the comforting feeling of I'm going to introduce them. They're going to have a great experience rather than, you know, beating them down or browbeating them or making their experience come into the archery shop.
Yeah.
I was going to make it pleasant, you know, whether it be a woman, a kid. And it's so wonderful to once they commit to buying a bow and you set it up, even if it's just a beginner, and you take them out there on the range and you let them shoot. You know, and they're thinking, like, I'm going to have to shoot every day. I'm going to have to shoot 30, 40, 50, 60 arrows a day and hope I can hit everybody goes by the pizza box. If I can hit that pizza box, I can kill a deer or a pie plate.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, you go out there and within 20 shots, they're hitting a you know, like a baseball every time at 20 yards. You can just see their face and body light up.
Kind of a relief a little bit.
Just like, I'm going to be able to do this. I set them up correctly. They're not hitting their arm. You know, we taught them correctly. We got them off and running. It's like, all right, I gut hooked another one for archery. I can let you go now. You're hitting 20 yards. You're hooked for life. I'll see you next week because I know you're going to come into my store.
Yeah, your archery spirits are high. You did your job.
Almost a 180 as far as what they feel about archery.
And
we did that in a 2 or 3 hour period. It gave me such pleasure.
And that's what it's about. It's not even about the money. It's that moment right there that you helped that person and that smile on their face.
Yeah, and hopefully we're singing those praises or going those praises even now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not working in the shop, but at least maybe through words of encouragement or things that they see on TV or, you know.
Yeah, you can do a lot of that impact through videos nowadays, you know. It's not you don't get the interaction, but you can still – you do more than – you're doing more good than you realize when you do it that way.
Yeah.
But like, exactly. I like that you talked about that, Bone, because like some archery shops are super intimidating.
Yeah. Oh, they are for sure.
Exactly. Really.
And you go in and we've talked about this. Like the guy behind the counter is kind of growly and you feel like you're inconveniencing them and hey, the peeps, can you move the peep a little bit? And they kind of do the,
I guess,
you know, not all shops are like that, of course, but it's intimidating.
I know it, and I want people to not know that, you know, those type of guys maybe not should be in, you know, one-on-one customer service person to person.
Yeah.
They have, you know, everybody has a bad day, but
they need some PR courses.
Yeah, those guys have bad days and worse days. That's the only 2 days they have.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, I feel you on that. But, yeah, if there was one thing I'd love to be able to, you know, people that have shops and I bleed, you know, for the independent shop. And, you know, you guys have such a platform, a great platform, you know, the Working Class Bow Hunter. We've said it 1,000 times, you know, to the Billy Joe Lunch Bucket.
Yeah, those in our intro. Guys
that are, yeah. And no, those are the guys that are going into the archery shops, and they're the ones that are visiting the independent really tailor. And those are the ones that, man, I used to have guys that used to come by my store on a daily basis as if it was a bar, you know, just to hang out.
Camaraderie.
And that's a great atmosphere to have. You know, they might pick up a nugget about their broadhead or, you know, or like, man, I never even thought about trying that on my wrist. I think I might try that. And I welcome that. And those guys, they like being a part of it so much. Man, they'd help me out. It was like I had employees. You know, they'd help out. Hey, man, can you go fluff that target? Oh, yeah, man, I'd love to. They just wanted to be a part of it, you know. And hey, I tell you what, right here, look here. Here's my buddy. There's my buddy Schmeck right there.
What's
He's
up,
over
man?
There fletching arrows right now.
I love it.
He's been fletching arrows with me since
a long time.
Since the 90s.
No kidding.
That's my best buddy right there, Schmeck. He could care less about having a camera on him at all, man. But I'm telling you, ain't nobody better than Schmeck right there.
Nice to meet you, man. That's cool.
Yep.
I saw you looking over there. I was wondering if there's someone down there with you.
Yeah.
Bones arrows.
He's fletching my arrows.
That's awesome, man.
Yep. We're making a vein change. And
that's the whole archery dojo down there, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Y'all take a look. I mean, I don't know if y'all are doing audio or whatever.
Give us a tour, man.
We're doing both audio, video.
Yeah, so, yeah, we see all those bows hanging up, but those are all bow fishing bows.
Oh, wow.
Up there on the ceiling?
Yeah, they're hanging from the ceiling there. Yep. And then if you look, I got French doors there, so it opens up. So we got a 25-yard indoor range. We shoot from the door back there all the way in past where I'm sitting right now. And then there's the big target right behind Schmeck.
Love it.
And he just sits there the whole time while you're shooting, don't he?
Yeah, no. We should have made it wider, but when I built the house, we only made this.
He's a good shot, but I'm not a thrill.
He ain't putting an apple on his head yet, is he?
Yep. And then, you know, naturally, we got stuff on the walls and stuff. So, I mean, it's like an archery shop, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still set up 30 or 40 bows a year. We've got a couple back over here got to set up, but, I mean, that ain't just a backdrop for a podcast. I mean, this is legit. We're in the dojo.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. That's the setup right there. Cozy.
And we've got a outdoor channel, playing up there, but right now we're watching Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, man.
That's awesome.
Can't go wrong with that.
And then, just on the other side of this wall, the wall that I'm looking at, I'm only 2 foot from a wall right now,
mm-hmm.
but just on the other side of that is my man cave, and we got refrigerator full of drinks and place to go back the bathroom and everything. So
that's what it's about right there, man.
So hopefully you still got the little trophy I made for you. What was that?
It's
5 years ago.
Yeah. Dude, it's upstairs. I'm as proud of that. I've done so many podcasts or you know, like come see T-Bone's house and I pointed that out. I'm proud of that. We've got all of our outdoor channel trophies in a row up there. There's like 10 or 11 of them. And then I got a Wexford trophy. And then I got the Working Class Bow Hunter trophy.
That's
all
awesome.
In the prized rack, son.
That thing was handmade right here.
I know. We need to do that again. We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't done that in a very long time.
We need to do that. I need to make up some new trophies and get that done.
The end of 22, we'll do a fan vote thing or listener vote. I don't like using fan listener. That's cool, man. I like that. That's all you need, man, for the man kit. And that's kind of like what we've done with our studio, you know, like we have our bar green, we call it the green room, you know? And
Now is this the place that y'all moved to?
Yep.
And it's a building. So y'all have to go there from your house. It's not in your house.
But. Yep.
No, this is its own standalone facility. Like this is just the studio room now. And then like you go right out our door and our green room, we just had, it was an old hair salon. So
I need a haircut too, boy.
Well,
I say, is that cord long enough? We could probably stick it out the door and give him a little tour.
It's not, but.
No, I've seen some pictures, but when y'all were putting it together, I just was making sure it's the same building because it looked to me like the studio took it, like y'all built a studio and then you're like, nah, we need to change it. And then you changed it again, I think.
Well, what happened was I moved. So the studio started in when I lived in a little town called Sherrard, Illinois. Yep. And I had like a little room that was, I mean,
it was an oversized closet.
We just made it work, you know, because it was where we started. And then I moved south to another town called New Windsor. And south, I'm in the country, southwest.
Yeah.
And then we had a little bigger room, so we kind of just made that the studio. And then we had that for a year, and it was like, man, it really was my wife being pregnant and having to use that bedroom.
Because you had another kid on the way. So like, okay, we need this bedroom.
So, it was the perfect timing.
It was time.
It was right. Like, we were ready for it. Our growth was to that point. And it's just working out good. So we found this place. It was all wide open. We looked at it, and the guy who was selling it, their hair salon, essentially closed down because of COVID. And really cool guy. When we got here, he had a case of Busch Light waiting for us. And he's like, man, I did all this. I renovated the whole place. And we looked at it, and we're like, man, we'd have to do a lot of work to get this to work for a recording studio and do what we want to do. But we saw like hair wash bowl station. We're like, there's the wet bar. We could frame that out. There's a bedroom here. We got the bathroom. There's a little kitchen where we can at least survive.
We were envisioning it as we walked in the door. Yeah, we actually
pictured it all pretty well, pretty fast.
Exactly how it worked out.
Yeah.
So when we're walking out, the guy is really cool. His name's Matt. He looked at us and he goes, guys, I just want to fucking sell this place. And to me, that's like, make me an offer.
Name your price.
So I called Eric. I live 5 minutes from the studio. I call Eric. I'm not even home. I'm like, you want to make an offer? Eric's like, fuck yeah, let's make an offer. Call him tomorrow. And it just worked out. Like, it's the offer was pretty much spot on with what he was thinking. And he goes,
and then again, the stars just aligned. Like, you had another kid on the way. We were looking for a place. We were talking about building a place. And then
this place
came up for sale. And it was just, I mean, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Is it pretty close to all y'all's house?
just to me.
Just to Kurt. I'm like an hour and 10 minutes away.
I'm like an hour.
Are you really?
Yep.
Yeah.
How about you, Doug?
An hour.
Man.
Yeah. So I'm the only lucky one with that. But I guess what makes it possible is it's in a small town, and where we're at, property's cheap. So that made it very doable for us.
Right.
You know, if we did one in the Quad Cities, which would be middle ground, we would have paid quadruple the price for the same type of building.
So Eric and Doug live in Iowa?
Yep.
Yeah, I got you.
We live on the good side of the creek, you know, the good side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I should be. I mean, I had enough points to draw last year, but I didn't, obviously, and I'm not going to put in this year either. So I'm just going to get another point. So when I do draw, I'll have like 8 or 9 points.
There you go.
I'm going to ask them. I'm going to say, can I keep like can I keep 3 of these for the next draw?
And yeah.
I'm just going to use 4.
Just apply for that governor's tag. You'll be good.
Yeah, I know. I've gotten that a few times, but then a few times I've been rejected, and I just can't handle the rejection. Yeah.
but if we're being honest, you know, with one leg, like you talked earlier, just come to Iowa and hunt. They're not going to say nothing.
Exactly. They're not going to give me a ticket, right?
Yeah, come on.
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm going to throw that sympathy card in there. Hey, man. Shed a tear, dude. I'm a one-legged fat guy.
I just walked 4 miles on public ground with one leg. What are you saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Follow my tracks, buddy. You'll see I'm not lying.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Follow down and be like, well, how are you going to push a guy with one leg? Look at me. Assault. Yeah. Just do whatever.
Assault. It's assault, brother.
Do whatever everybody else does on the internet.
I know it. That's funny. I've told David that, man, and he died laughing. You know, because we were having a serious conversation and I busted into that. I'm like, they're not going to give me a ticket, David. I mean, they're not. And besides,
they're not.
You know how many followers and likes I would get if I did get caught? You know how many? You know how much good? I mean, not good press, but press I would get because of that.
Right.
I ain't doing that.
Any press is good press, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the rumor for sure. So.
It's only good if you make TMZ.
Oh yeah.
That's true. That is true.
Well, I don't
know. We should make our own TMZ for the hunting community.
I was sitting here trying to remember, and I was going to look on my phone. I didn't want to be rude, but there was a video of Doug.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I forget. Yeah, it was a couple of weeks back. I died laughing. You had safety glasses on and something other. What was y'all doing? I forgot, but it was funny as hell.
Was it when we were in the tree saddles?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you looked at the camera and said, how about that, or something like that. Or
oh, yeah, you're trying to do a commercial. All he was supposed to do is promote the podcast, and you couldn't get past, hey, guys.
I don't know. The cameras in my face. It's hard.
Dude, it was funny. It was funny. I don't know. Just because I know you guys, it was funny. I'm like, dude, that is so Doug right there.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Doug has become like a living meme over the past like 2 years.
That's
perfect, escalated quickly.
Man. That's perfect, man. And don't ever lose the stash, man.
I can't.
Yeah,
it's ingrained in me.
That is a porn stash if I've ever seen one.
We're trying to get like a mustache product sponsor, you know, like a mustache wax or an oil.
Yeah, so. beard products. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All of you guys are rocking that, and plus everybody else that listens to this.
Yeah.
Right.
It would actually make a ton of, we aren't really looking, but it would actually
make a lot of sense.
It would make a lot of sense for that mustache.
And we could make some pretty good commercials for them.
Honestly, I'm thinking about coming up with a beard wax just so that you guys can promote it for me.
I'm listening.
T-Bone, million-dollar idea.
Let's run with it.
You get a wax that doubles as a bowstring wax that you can also use in your facial hair.
Yes, and here's an applicator and everything. You just put it on there like that and rub it on in.
Yeah.
The bone wax.
Yeah, maybe
the bone wax.
Have Last Chance Archery give us a call, and we'll start the development process.
That's right. Double down, guys. When you're in the woods and you need to wax your string, just reach up in your beard and get
oh,
that wax.
Oh, man, it's perfect.
Oh, you pull it out of your beard to put on your string? Oh, exactly. That's $1 million idea.
Just put my mustache on it.
You got to wax the mustache out of the way so it doesn't get caught on your kisser
button. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, he just waxes over to the left side.
All of it?
Yeah. The whole thing to the left side so it doesn't get stuck.
Gosh, I've never seen somebody have a parted mustache. You know, everybody grows it out like this.
Yeah.
You got to have everything like this, like you're standing
one
in
way.
An east-west wind.
Yeah. Which way is the wind blower? It's just going this way.
T-Bone, it's just like your old cutout hat, you know, for the string.
Yeah, exactly. So what is going on, Doug, with your – just have, like, this side right here, like 6 inches long, and then – it's almost like a cat that you cut half the whiskers off of.
Dude, so, like dude just grow out the one side.
It's a pretty windy day out here.
Yeah.
My God, that'd be so funny.
When I grew my beard out for like a year, and it was just so... Like, you know, when Joe Derby's like, you mean to tell me your facial hair just grows in all white trash like that? He goes, I don't know what you're trying to say, but yeah, that was me. And my mustache was like Lion Tabor, like style mustache, where it was like all long on the ends.
Curly cute.
And it used to get caught in my bowstring, like, and get pieces of it get pulled out. So you'd have to trim out just the little edge where you're
just cut a little opening.
Yeah.
Doug just cuts a V in his mustache.
Yeah, I just cut a V. Like T-Bone's old hat. I'd be like, where my string goes.
I had a customer.
I don't need a kisser button.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need a kisser button.
I had a customer of mine. This is no lie. This was back when the type of rest that was real popular is called a Star Hunter. It was two blades that came together like this. And it had side tension like this. It was mainly meant for someone that shot fingers, but it had such clearance because we didn't have drop-away rest. This is long before drop-away rest. And it was like this. And those blades, like I would cover them with suede material. Actually, we're working on some right here. And it's because I was background was leather and Mercedes-Benz, I had a surplus of leftover leather. So I would cover people's rest, custom cover them with leather. Well, he would shoot it, but then again, when your arrow gets a little dust on there and he goes to draw it back, he goes, you know, because it was dirty.
Yeah.
So this guy, I mean, he was a weird cat, great dude, but he would do this, man. He'd come down to the shop and he'd shoot just like it was. His name was Kirby Fiddler.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his name. I just remember.
Great name. That is a good name.
He shot with fingers. He shot with a glove on. Man, he was noted for being a hunter around here. I know he's still alive, but he's old. He's 20 years older, 25 years older than me, but he'd shoot with a glove on and shoot fingers and he'd pull that thing back and then make that noise and he'd clean his arrow. And then to lubricate or to redo fluff the leather, he'd take the wax. You know how you get wax? He would take and rub like that. Like, I mean, he would honestly do this like this and then put it on the,
take the grease off his face.
Yep, grease off his face, you know, summertime and you're just all greasy and sweaty and put it on his rest. And
hell yeah.
Quiet as hell. I always thought the way he used to do that was so methodical. It's just like, you know, I'm like, man, that is badass.
Old Kirby Fiddler, man.
Kirby. Hey, yeah. T-Bone's like, this guy's got it figured out right here.
He does, man. I'm like Inspector Gadget. Like, most people would be like, I can't go hunting. I can't go hunting. And that dude just went, whoosh. He quietened up his rest like that, man.
Pulled out a holster.
Dang.
Yeah, exactly.
That's utilizing a convenient resource right there as well.
Well, now we'll just have mustache wax for it.
Yeah, exactly. Doug, you got to go one-sided, man. Or I tell you what, let's see if we can talk Michael Pitts and you both to grow
it
out.
Oh, if Michael does it, you have to do it.
If Michael's down, I have to kind of, I'm kind of
Bowen, that's the commercial right there is the two together.
Yes. I talked to Michael just the other day, actually. We're going to have lunch one day next week. Man, he's so awesome.
I love that guy.
Yep. Man, he is. And I was telling him about this because he works on bow stuff, too. I was telling him about this. This is another product that they were coming out with Last Chance for covering your rest.
Uh-huh.
It's waterproof and it's real pliable and it sticks like crazy. And it's something we've carried, we've covered rest with for years. I mean, I've covered so many and taught Pitts how to do it, and Pitts does it too. And, you know, we the one that started lacing them up and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it's been so hard to find the right material where we used to get it. You can't get it anymore. And he and I both have been on a search, and I'm like, shit, I'm just going to make it. So I've been working with companies and stuff like that, and we got it now. So
kick ass, man.
Yeah, it'll be available too, you know, through Last Chance in the future. But nonetheless, Michael's coming up, and I'm going to hook him up. I got a surplus of the material, and I'm going to hook him up. We're going to have lunch next week.
Awesome. So. Hey, he told us a story at ATA.
Oh, my God.
And I can't remember the connection. We were crying, laughing.
Dude, I don't think I've laughed so hard in my life when he told us a story.
And I don't remember the connection. And I don't want to tell the story in full detail without, like, having permission. But it was someone that's friends with Roger Culpepper that was in Africa and wanted to shoot a monkey. Maybe you've heard the story.
And I haven't.
He was, like, on the fence about shooting this monkey. He's like, man, kind of human-like. But you got to ask Pitts about it and have him tell you the illustrated story that he gave us.
We couldn't even do it justice if we told the story.
It was not even worth telling, but we all cried laughing.
I was crying, laughing for 20 minutes. It was unbelievable.
It's the funniest story.
Pitts, with his accent, could tell you a story about how he, you know, tried to brush his teeth left-handed, and it would be so funny.
Oh, I know. And just his mannerisms, so animated, he's talking with his hands and stuff. I'm like, yep. God damn it.
He cracks me up.
You guys are too young to remember it, but there's an actress that was famous back in the day, and I shouldn't make fun, but her name was Katharine Hepburn. And, you know, on Golden Pond, yep, with Henry, yep, Fonda, it's an older movie or whatever. But she had, I forget what type, but it affects the way you talk. You got a little bit of bounce in your talk like this, almost like Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Pitts has got that right there. He's got a little bit of that. Man, yeah. I tell you.
And then you throw that southern twang in there, too. It's like, yeah. Gosh, dang it.
He'll kill me when I tell you this, but he's like, Pitts, you know, he's still single, and I think he's 40 something now. He's in his 40s, but and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm like, good for you, Pitts. You, yeah, don't have to follow suit. Do, you know,
do your thing.
Do
your thing. So he says, you know, he still got the drive. I said, Pitts, what do you think about, you know, sending him a text of somebody? What do you think about her? Man, she's pretty. And I'm like, how pretty is she? You know, when we get to talking, he goes, man, she's so pretty, I'd dribble a basketball through a minefield just to hear her fart in a walkie-talkie.
In a walkie-talkie.
Yep. Yeah. I'm like, golly, that's it right there, boy. She's pretty.
Dude, that's like the best – Michael Pitts, best type of human beings there
that's,
is.
That's Pitts, yeah, to a T. You that never
actually,
know.
That actually reminds me of another surreal moment. Remember when we were eating in Wisconsin at that steak dinner? I showed T-Bone what Tinder was.
Yeah. 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 I was like, well, no, I had heard of Tinder.
Mm-hmm. But never seen it.
You gave me the deep dive about it. And I was like, holy crap, you guys have got it so easy, man. We had to work so hard back in the day. Yeah. I mean, you have no idea how we had to work for it back in the day.
Yeah, but T-Bone, you got to realize that's not even like in our era.
Dude,
like,
I never used Tinder.
No, like, I've never even had the app or anything.
I'm just saying guys of your age.
For
right,
sure.
Right.
For
yeah,
sure.
I've never used it either, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
successfully, well, anyway.
Oh, hey. You better, for us old married guys, you better be using it, man. You better make us proud, by God.
That's right, because we need stories, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got stories. Stories.
That's,
he's that's got
what
stories.
We thrive on. That's what we thrive on around hunting camp.
That's right.
No, I've been with some younger camera guys, and I'm not going to let any names out by no means.
You can't,
but we've
yeah.
freelance guys and stuff like that, and you know they've showed me how it works in the blind and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, man, this is unbelievable!
Oh my gosh. Believe it. I know,
yeah, unbelievable.
We it's all crazy. Live vicariously through Doug's. I don't know the word there, just through Doug.
Just through Doug. We'll just leave it at
we'll
that.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
I'm happy to oblige.
There you go, buddy. I'm telling you, man. Rock on, son. Rock on.
T-Bone, you are so much fun to talk to every time we get to do this, man. And it's always so natural, man. So
yeah.
We just appreciate the hell out of you, man. And we're glad you're here with us, man. And we're able to box out some time to let us chat your ear off and have good conversation, brother. It does
Anytime,
mean a lot to
guys.
Us.
Like I've told you, Kurt, I mean, I know of. You know, when we text and stuff like that, I mean, we'll do back to back weeks if you want to. Anything you need, I enjoy this as much or more than you guys do. So, you know, this is home base. Like I told you guys, we do a lot of podcasts. This is my fifth one this week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of podcasts.
It's a lot.
I love every one of them, but honestly, this is home base. So
that means a lot.
That means a lot. Yeah.
Much awesome. Much obliged, son. I mean, honestly, I appreciate you guys. Y'all do a great job. Just keep it up and just enjoy the journey, man. Enjoy the journey.
Yeah. Thanks, brother. Well, thank I'm looking you. Forward to seeing what you're going to be cranking out here. And best of luck to you, man, getting back to it and doing what you do. But I love the motivation. I love your just motivated mind to just anything archery and new stuff is very inspiring. So
I appreciate it. Yeah. I love this stuff, man. I'll be on my deathbed and be thinking and tinkering to tell my wife, "Hey, bring in my set of Allen wrenches up here to the hospital." So
right.
That's the way it is, man. So archery and hunting has been so good to me. So, it's not like there's no gun to my head to give back. I absolutely love it. So
it's beautiful.
It's been so good to me. Yep.
Yep. Thanks. So, thanks, T-Bone. I mean, we've just been pleasured to know you for the last couple of years and, you know, many more podcasts to come.
Yeah.
Yep, I got a feeling that if I'm able, I'm coming to Wisconsin for that steak next year, whether I'm booked for that deal or not. I'm
We're
just
doing
coming
it.
Up for a steak and a motel. Yeah.
Well, the table ready.
Smek just said he's coming for the steak too. He said,
All right.
Yeah, we're talking steak. He's coming too.
Bring him along. It's a date.
Hey, dinner's on us too.
Yeah, we got it.
Well, don't worry about that, man. We'll worry about that. We're just going to have some good friends and fellowship, and we'll worry about that. We'll do a motel podcast again.
That's right.
There you go.
Hey, in the near future too, we gotta get you in studio so you can see the place.
Yes. If I'm up that way, we'll carve out an extra day and we'll do that. That'd be great, man.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
I've been talking with Jordan, you know, the neon sign guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ever since I met him up there at y'all's podcast, he and I have messaged and stayed in contact and stuff. I keep bugging him if y'all could help me. I'm trying to get him to build me a G5. Like in my man cave, I've got, I love neon stuff. I've got three or four neon signs and, G5 back in the day made three or four, or it might've been 10 for like good dealers. And I had one, but when I sold my store, it went with it. And I've always loved their blue and white, you know, it just
pops.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get him to make me a G5 one, but he says he's not quite ready to, he's getting ready, you know, and
his shop's almost done.
His shop.
Yep. Yeah.
His shop's almost done.
But I think that I'm, you know, trying to get him to build me one of them, not for free or nothing. I just want him to build, you know, the connection of, hey, my buddy built this that does neon. Yeah. I want to buy it from him, you know.
He's the guy to do it.
Yeah. And he's doing I think that their camp that they have is a lot of work on him.
Angler's Haven. Yep. Yeah. It keeps him busy, man. And he does that clothing brand Pull Back and Let Go, which he hooks us up with gear. And I think I sent you pictures of our neon here, but it's just, best people ever, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Great people.
Yeah. Him and his wife, they're great. And, but anyway, I've been staying in touch with him. It just goes to show, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, another friend or an acquaintance down the road. And
exactly.
You know, we're all connected. It's just, we got to find time to connect.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
For sure, man. For sure. Well, we'll put in the good word. Be like, hey, get that moving, Jordan. Come on.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
We'll bugging.
Light a fire underneath him.
Well, cool. Stay on the call here, T-Bone, real quick. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Doug, you got anything to throw in?
Nah, just thanks for coming on, T-Bone. Always appreciate it.
Start working on that sideways, man. I'll get you a beer.
I'll start to get going.
Yeah, just text me and let me know if you're going left or right. I want to know so I can pull hits in on it too.
It matters. That stuff matters.
I'm going to go right. Or do I want to go left? No, away from the bow.
You got to go with the draw.
You go left.
You got to go, draw?
You go
with
left.
With the draw.
Oh, with the draw.
So it lays the string lays over the hair.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you have to let it grow out on your left side.
Your left side. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're right-handed, right?
So it comes over the right.
So right side.
Yeah.
Right side.
It's going right, but you got to grow the left side so it comes over the right.
Oh.
Either way.
No, it's got to go the other way.
So it doesn't get in the way of your string.
Yeah. If he's right, it needs to go to the left.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I got you.
I'll start
growing. You need to keep the right side short for the kisser button.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, boy.
We'll cut out a V on your right side for the kisser button.
This is going to be.
And then your left side will be long as shit.
And then should I curl it?
Yep. Dude, everyone in regular life, it'd be like the most functional mustache ever. Everyone else would be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But you think about the conversation piece whenever you're at the bar or
your
on
Tinder.
When you're FaceTiming with your Tinder date, you can tell them, you know, I mean, you could talk for 30 minutes about that.
True.
You can come up with all kinds of
It's an icebreaker.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a womb broom.
I got caught in a hurricane.
The old womb broom, the old cookie duster.
It grows in all white trash like this.
I love it. Eric, I don't even want to ask you anything to add at this point.
Actually, truth be known, is we three being married guys should grow it because it might hinder him.
And it's going to hurt me a little bit.
You're right.
Yeah, I know it. But are you up for a challenge?
I do love
a
challenge.
Still pull with a one-legged mustache.
With a hole in it.
And a little middle leg.
Yeah, exactly.
A little middle leg.
Hey, we're all in that boat.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much, Bone. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, watching, and listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. Thanks, guys.